Okay, guys, I'm actually going to give a little bit of a warning first before we actually start this episode. This is not your typical episode of Comic Timing. This is a celebration of all things Comic Timing, the 2-year anniversary special for the show. So in celebration of the show, we're giving you guys a little bit of an inside peek of what it's like to do an episode of Comic Timing. What does that mean? Well, that means that it was not edited that much. I kept in most of the stuff. I made some fine-tuning here and there when it really needed to be done. Like, if there were really long pauses, then I obviously stopped it. But if there was if there were technical issues, I left them in. And if there were woes, all the woes are left in. The only thing I had to cut out from the episode, and I want to thank Matthew Guy for being on the episode when he was there. We actually had to cut out the Matthew Guy segment because it was a little too difficult to actually edit it, as the sound quality was not up to snuff with the rest of the call. That was on a separate track, and it didn't turn out nearly as well as I hoped it did. So I want to thank Matthew for being on the show, but we just couldn't use it for this episode. But I hope he had a good time being on the show nonetheless, and you know, maybe sometime in the future we'll have him on again. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, enjoy the show, and like I said, it's bare, it's raw, but hell, it's 2 years.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 63 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joined in is Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinsey, and discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's our 2-year anniversary question and answer and call-in show. The regular panel of Brent Cassina, Chris Johnson, Brandon Christopher, and myself are joined in by some callers along the way as we answer a whole buttload of questions. And we hope we answer them well. Here now, Comic Timing. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the 2-year anniversary episode of Comic Timing, episode 63, and we have ourselves one hell of a panel here. We've already got one of the people who's just going to be asking a question and running, but let me introduce everybody else first. First off, the co-host, not co-host, co-host, but who wasn't here from the beginning, but he's around so often, it's kind of like he is, Brent Cassina.
What would a co-host be if he wasn't around so often?
Just a guest, maybe? Maybe. That's the only thing I can think of. What's going on?
I'm packing up.
Yes, yes, yes. You're packing up your many, many things, and you're already missing your roommate.
Moving out.
Sure.
He did. He left yesterday.
Aw. Well, also joining us for this episode, once he actually gets his microphone plugged in, is Brandon Christopher. So I'm going to say hello, Brandon, for him. Hey, what's going on? Hey, Brandon, what's up? What's doing? And also joining us here for a little bit also until his Supernatural starts up, Chris Johnson from the Amazing Spider-Cast.
Hey.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. Happy 2-year anniversary, guys.
Thank you. It's hard to believe it's been that long already. And a guy who has been on the show once before and usually hosts Geek Brunch, will co-host Geek Brunch with Mike Myers, but he's back for a little bit here to skeeve us out. It's Heath Holland.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Heath.
So, 2 years of not returning my phone calls.
Well, after I saw you rummaging through my garbage again, I got freaked out.
Was it the plaster mold of my private parts that I sent you? Was it too much?
Yeah, that does it. And also the Ian mask you were wearing while you were rummaging through my garbage. Because it's bad enough that I see my face when I look in the mirror.
It was supposed to be sexy.
Well, it didn't really work. You're going to have to try harder. And now that you've skeeved out every bit of the listener audience, including myself...
So I guess Brent's going to be doing all the editing since you can't listen to it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
No. I never agreed to that.
Oh, really? Really? Well, anyway, Heath, you got any questions that you want to ask the panel before you head on out? Because I know that you can't be here too long, but I figured we'd at least corral you for a little bit.
Oh, sure. I can come up with some questions. Well, okay. What's the one guest you hated having on and you would never have back on again? No, I'm just kidding.
Freaky Tiki. Oh, wait.
No.
No one's supposed to answer that. You're burning bridges, man.
Oh, sorry. I'm just kidding. I just figured we might as well call him out since it seemed like he got an ass raping on that one episode.
And
but we'll have him on again just so he doesn't feel that way.
And to Brandon, considering that you can't hear us right now, I'm going to type this out, I guess, if you can't actually hear us right now. But, yeah, you might want to just restart Skype, buddy.
You just eject him from the call.
Yeah. Okay, but...
it's because I'm in his house.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
In his closet. Watching him.
Somebody's watching you.
Playing with his Wi-Fi connection. I'm playing with my Wi-Fi connection while I'm messing up his Wi-Fi connection. If you know what I mean.
I'm in your Wi-Fi. Playing with your stuff.
That should be your new name, Ian. I am Wi-Fi.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I could actually like add a couple of Wi-Fi signal bars to my Sir Avatar.
Just make him come off the ring there. Little Wi-Fi bars.
That could work. That could work. Anyway, you got any real questions for us, Heath, before you head on out?
They're fluffy. I don't have any challenging questions, really. I guess I'll just ask you, what was your favorite? Do you have a favorite memory from the last 2 years of doing this? That's something that sticks out above everything else?
Ooh. See, that's actually a good question right there. And I'm hearing myself again, but so I'm just going to move back a little bit. But anyway, yeah, that's weird. Hold on. Let me actually lower my audio over here and see maybe if that helps. 1 second.
Okay, because I don't have an echo. I just got you.
Yes, you've got me.
That sounded gay. I wasn't even trying to sound gay.
I got you, babe.
You can tell, too, because I was like...
We can be all gay if we want. Because nobody cares. This is our goof-off episode.
You know, I think in the next 2 years of Comic Timing, I really think that there should be a karaoke episode.
Oh, dear Lord.
Because you guys break off into songs so many times, you know.
Right. Is this the real life?
Is this just fantasy?
Caught in a landslide.
No escape from reality.
Open your eyes.
Well, the answer to your question is obviously singing that just now. That's the best moment in the last 2 years.
Thank you and good night.
All right. Now, I actually think probably my favorite moment in the last 2 years was when Evan Dorkin called me out for being incredibly young and not knowing anything.
I'm sure there's a joke there somewhere in front of Hembeck's made it, but I won't get into it.
Oh, God. Well,
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Vaguely.
Fred Hembeck was in the Marvel Age all the time. He was one of my favorite cartoons, actually.
That's true. He was in a Marvel book, so you got me. You've got me there. 1-0. What happened to episode 20?
Ooh.
You cover it up well.
Yeah, no. I cover it up well enough. It's just that on that particular episode, I wasn't entirely familiar with his line of work. And, you know, I knew the basics. I knew a lot of the stuff that he had done in the past. There were just some things that I just didn't know that I should have. And he called me out on it. And, yeah, for most of the show, he was just making fun of how ridiculously young I am. So that's definitely, I think, my favorite moment in the last 2 years.
So your favorite moment was the moment that left you crying in the shower all night long?
Yes, yes. And it's still one of the most downloaded episodes of Comic Timing to this day. The interview with
I turned that episode off. That was my favorite moment.
And, Brandon, we cannot hear you. Can you hear us? Can we hear you, Brandon? No. All right.
Poor guy.
Okay. Yeah, we can hear you now, Brandon.
Yo.
Yeah. You're very low, but we can hear you.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. Make yourself louder, dude.
Hold on.
You're very low.
Okay. Scream. How low can you go? Penance. Oh, did you guys read the article about the real life penance?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so this on New Year's Eve this year, somewhere, I for the life of me, I can't remember where, but these old dudes, their house got broken into by a guy who was wearing a suit with these like really pointy, like little things coming out of it, and he just ran off and left. And the guys told the police, and the police didn't believe him. But apparently, he's been like terrorizing other parts of the neighborhood now, and yeah, it's a real life penance.
In New York?
Wow.
I don't know if it's in New York, Brandon, and you still got to make yourself louder, dude. We can barely hear you.
I'm trying. I'm so trying.
What do you have now? Like what is it? A new headset or something?
No, it's the same old headset, but a new jack configuration.
Oh, okay.
It's a Campbell soup can and a piece of string.
Yeah. Is it in the... Did you put it in the is it a pink hole that you put it in?
Oh, that sounds so wrong.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Hey, I'm only asking because that's the way it's set up. But you know what? While Brandon tries...
likes the brown holes.
Oh, I prefer the brown hole myself, yeah.
I should feel hurt by that one.
Yes, but... You know, we'd be able to. You'd be able to be more hurt by it if we could actually hear what you're saying. Make yourself louder, man.
I'm trying to. I'm going through every single option I have, but it's not working.
Are you on a Mac or a Windows?
God, Windows, please.
Windows.
Yes.
Okay. Are you in the sound controls?
I'm in there now.
Okay. Did you go to the recording settings?
Under
advanced. Options in master. Well, now we can't hear him at all. So you know what? While he's trying to do that, okay, we can still hear you, but you're not very low. You're still very low. Are you in playback or recording?
Under which one?
In properties. Are you in playback or recording right now?
To control panel. And I went to sound and speech and audio.
Mm-hmm.
Sound and audio devices.
Mm-hmm.
Voice.
Okay. See, no. What you want to do is. You know the sound icon that's on your taskbar? Double click on that.
All right.
That brings you to the master.
All right.
Okay. So right now you're in that. First off, make your main microphone thing louder on the master, because I'm sure that's probably there. Like you have like microphone line in, CD player, so on and so forth.
Right, line in.
Yeah. So make that microphone louder first.
Is that better?
No, because now I'm going to tell you to do something else. Go to options, mm-hmm. Then properties.
Right.
Okay. And do you see the tick for recording?
Yeah.
Okay. So quick recording. Mm-hmm. Now click OK.
Okay.
Now you're in microphone.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Hold on. Now there's a little checkbox saying select, and I'm selecting that something happening, and it's all the way up also.
That's all the way up, and okay, wait, that's not good. Are you on a USB headset?
No.
You're just on a regular headset? So wait, there's no option on their microphone?
Oh, it's volume down, and then there's a little select button, a little checkmark box.
Yeah.
And nothing's happening. I check on the checkmark box.
So what's checked right now?
Right now, microphone is checked.
Yes, that's what you need. That one, that's what needs to be checked.
I know, and it's all the way up also. How's that?
Oh, thank you. You're back.
There you go. The mic boost is off.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now you sound like you. So now we can actually answer the question that Heath asked us.
And not have to level it every 5 seconds.
Before. Yes, yes, as opposed to before. So, all right, I'm going to ask the rest of the panel this, then. You guys, even if you weren't on episodes, if you remember just listening to it and had favorite moments, what was your favorite moment of Comic Timing in the last 2 years? And we'll actually start with Brandon, now that we can hear him.
Probably one of the Lost episodes. I think the JSA episode is probably by far my favorite.
How can that be your favorite if it's Lost?
To him, it's found.
It's my favorite because it was probably... Actually, it was my first episode on Comic Timing, but it was probably the one where I actually went the most in-depth about reading a comic book ever, really.
Green Lantern, Power Girl, Star Spangled Kid, or whatever she goes by, Wildcat, Dr. Midnight, Our Man, Old Flash.
Old Flash? What is this?
Thunderbolt, Mr. Terrific, and Sandman. They're fighting and running, looking really heroic.
I'm sure he objects to being called Old Flash, by the way.
Old Flash, Young Flash, and then there was Kid Flash. So, you know, he's Old Flash.
Get him back here, you whippersnapper.
You can call him Golden Age Flash. I mean, you can call him the first Flash. But no, Old Flash. That's very respectful of your elders, man.
Yeah, I don't know the guy.
Nobody does. He's not real.
Well, some people may think they know him.
Yeah. And by the way, Star Spangled Kid goes by Star Girl now, just to remind you about that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Whatever.
Semantics.
Yeah, who cares? Hot girl in a blue costume. Anyway.
With a giant starter chest.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at her chest, you perv. She's underage. Whoa. Moving on.
I never really got a chance to ever break down a comic book panel for panel for panel and see really what went inside of it by myself, but it was actually kind of interesting talking to other people who read the book also, and really just go in depth about what went behind the scenes of the book, number one, and the emotions it evoked from us from reading a comic book. A lot of times I'll read a book for a surface value almost, and then just move on to the next book. Uh-huh. And it's really, really cool to actually go to the more intrinsic reason of why we read comic books also.
Well, that, and you'd also like to give a big FU to the fans out there who would never be able to hear this episode.
Well, no. If we found it, eventually.
Dude,
if they want.
No. We can never find it because there was never an MP3 for it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. We recorded it, didn't we?
Yeah. Just to explain it to the folks out there, and anybody who's been listening to Comic Timing since the beginning, you might remember this. Skype had this big upgrade, and I'm sure that Chris remembers this also, and anybody who's been using Skype for a while. When Skype upgraded to 2.5, all of the recording softwares that were using Skype previous versions didn't work with 2.5. Now, was I the only one that had a problem with that, or did anybody else ever run into that issue?
I didn't.
No, I remember one time I recorded, and it might have been some other upgrade, but I remember that it recorded everybody's audio but mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this one, it said it was recording, and then when I pressed stop, it didn't record anything. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was a full no file whatsoever, and I didn't find this out until after 3 hours of recording.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was good times, and, you know, it was nice having Brandon on for the first time, so I can understand why that would be his favorite moment. Heath, what was your favorite moment of Comic Timing in the last 2 years?
That would be me being on the show.
I figured as much. We're also joined for the first time on the show by Heath Holland, who has himself a brunch every now and then with Geek Brunch. What's up, Heath?
Hey, guys. It's nice to be here all the way from New Zealand. Thanks for having me.
Wait a minute. Heath.
Yes. Yes.
What? I thought you lived in Alabama or something.
Aren't you from Chicago? No, from New Zealand.
Dude.
And why do you British accent?
You are Damien Smith's sworn enemy because you're from New Zealand and he's from Australia. So let's get it on.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let's do that. Yes.
You know, you actually sound a lot like this character from Tiny Toons right now.
Was it that dingo?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Definitely. But, Heath, where are you really from?
I'm from Alabama.
There you go.
Oh. One for me.
Let's move on to Brent.
Every episode, because he's on it.
Every episode, because I'm on it. No. That's a hard question. Because I've been on so many. I think just sitting back and listening to the people who we had on for the online ordering episode just go at each other all out, Wolverine versus Sabretooth for the very, 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 very last time.
Yeah, I think in the end we all want the same thing.
Right. Right.
You know, and that is to be held.
Are we going to have a group hug on this call? Because I think that would be awkward.
But I honestly, once again, going back to my initial statement, I think a comic shop is what you make of it.
Yeah. And you know what? Going with what...
If you're opening your own, I think you're right.
I was just really entertaining to sit back and listen to and let it ride and just like text or type to Ian on chat and be like, oh my God, this is insane. And Ian's like, it's awesome.
Wait, I just say also.
It was like listening to a car wreck that you knew was going to be fantastic. So I think that was my favorite moment.
Yeah,
that sticks out in my mind.
What were you going to say, Brennan?
I just want to say that online ordering episode was awesome.
Yes,
it was almost like a death match on radio.
Yes, and Chris actually can attest to that because he actually what were your exact words, Chris? Like best episode ever.
Oh, I said it's some of the best podcasting I've ever heard.
It really was.
Yeah, you know, seriously. That two part was brilliant.
The irony is that the podcast wasn't even us, though.
Yeah, and that is why it was the best episode ever. because Brent and I sat there, you know, said maybe five words the entire episode and just let everybody else talk. And then at the end, I was like, well, I want to thank you guys for joining us.
It's the best, best podcasting done ever by us and not by us at the same time.
Pour him a new one.
Oh, man. But we love Tiki, and he took it in stride, and he understood everything that we were saying, and it was a wonderful episode to be a part of. But I'll ask Chris the question last here. So what was your favorite moment?
It was probably the episode I was on, and that would be Brent's reaction to an amazing Azrael cast.
If your show was about the amazing Azrael cast, then he'd listen. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be masturbating to that thing nightly.
Oh. Quick, somebody make one. It'll be funny.
Oh, Jesus frickin' Christ, man. Oh,
jeez. What time is it again?
That's going in the back.
That's going in the back for, like, every fucking episode, man. Jesus. Oh. Oh, and I'm going to make an addendum to my favorite moment, because there's one other favorite moment, and that is the full 10-minute conversation between Brent and his roommate.
Oh, about Guitar Hero?
Yes.
Because an electric guitar costs more than Guitar Hero.
No. Guitar Hero plus the Xbox.
Okay, yeah.
That's like four.
You're wanting to get an Xbox just to play Guitar Hero? Is that what you're saying?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
And Gears of War?
Yeah.
That's two games.
Yeah.
And Halo, what about Halo 3?
Halo 3 would be on the list, too.
What? So that does not outweigh getting an electric guitar, Pat.
It'd be more cool.
Okay, dude.
No, because you don't have to learn how to play Guitar Hero. It'll teach you. You actually have to learn and try to play guitar.
Get
I tried
a Wii.
To pick up my brother's guitar last summer, and it didn't work.
Get a Wii. That's it, man. Just get a Wii and an electric guitar along with it.
Wii doesn't have Guitar Hero.
Yes, it does. Guitar Hero 3 came out for the Wii.
It does have the Wii, but it doesn't have Gears of War and Halo.
True.
Yeah, Xbox 360 is by far the most superior system. PS3 looks better, but Xbox 360 is the better system.
Because they've got more games.
They got the best games, yeah. I want to play, like...
Didn't you just drop $400 on that TV?
Yeah.
And I ain't going to go drop another $400?
Well, I'm about to go to Tampa, to the Hard Rock.
To do what? Oh, to gamble? Yeah. You're not 21.
It's only have to be 18, I think. Miami, that's 18.
It's the whole fucking...
No, Miami's 18.
You sure?
I'm pretty damn sure, because I've been at the casino a lot in Miami.
You've already been and gambled?
In Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of times.
You've been and gambled.
Yeah, that's right.
When'd you turn 18?
Oh,
he's 19. Oh.
This is really fun.
I don't know where he got the money for that TV. I thought he's made of money. I figured he's from fucking Miami. Maybe his parents are loaded. He can fly home in a puddle jumper for a weekend. You know, he must be made of money. He just doesn't like to show it and dress in nice shoes and shit.
I'm glad I'm recording this.
Jordans.
I'm glad I'm recording this because it's all ending up at the back. Because I can hear both sides of the conversation very well.
That's his financial age.
You're crazy, Pat.
No, I want. Last time I won $700 for my wedding back to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought the TV with $40.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think the real electric guitar outweighs the Xbox.
It has more positive benefits, though. If I actually accomplished that,
then you could start a band and you could get chicks and
play guitar. My guitar gets chicks. Yeah, that's number two. Number two, guitar. Yeah, it's kind of cool, you know, to play guitar.
Yeah.
But then again, it's a lot easier than the Xbox.
You could always get an electric. Those are a little cheaper than the not electric. You get an acoustic instead of an electric. Oh. So do you already know how to play?
Not fantastic.
So bring the acoustic up, learn how to play before you buy the electric. Even though the electric's a little easier to play because the strings aren't as rough on you, but...
Yeah.
Well, if you can play acoustic, you can definitely play electric. That's the wrong word. It's Carry On My Wayward Son. I've got Guitar Hero 1 and 2 over at my girlfriend's.
Dude.
I'm getting three when I get money.
The Legends of Rock, man. That game looks awesome.
I know it does.
You know you... But how much is $140?
No.
With the guitar.
No. You're thinking like Rock Band. Rock Band is coming out for like the 360, and it comes with two guitars, a microphone, and like a drum thing. And that's like 170 or something, and a game.
Guitar Hero is $80.
And Guitar Hero is like 80 or 90 bucks or something.
With a guitar?
With a guitar, yeah.
Yeah, so at GameStop they have some cool guitars too.
Well, the one that if you buy for 360 is wireless already.
Yeah, they have a wireless.
And then I think the, or at least the extra ones for PS2 were like another $40 or something.
No, I'm at 18. Florida's 18 to gamble anyway.
I know that for like lottery tickets and stuff, but I don't know about like in a casino.
I know in Miami it is, especially on the Indian reservations, and the dog trap too, which is.
All right, I didn't know they had Indian reservations in Miami.
Dude, they have Indian reservations everywhere.
I guess.
Yeah. It's all right. We're from Orlando.
Yeah. We don't have casinos in Orlando.
Casinos in Orlando. That's a shame, though, because then Disney World would turn to, like, Las Vegas, and that would be a disaster. Like, can you picture, like, Mickey Mouse Casino? Like, a big smiling, like, Mickey Mouse?
That'd be evil. I'm sure they did something in, like, a Kevin Smith movie or something, didn't they?
Yeah, hell of a lot better than Atlantic City in New Jersey.
Yeah. What are you guys doing today?
Bench.
We're
a max Brad out. 105.
Brad's max.
Brad's going for 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, hell, you never know.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when
you're done.
A little both.
And then you're podcasting.
Well, we haven't really started yet. We're just chit-chatting.
Don't you cry.
No, it's not.
Come on, learn how to
tell me what the fuck a sheer flow is. It is not easy. Kiss my ass. You want to shave my ass and then kiss it first? Just think this is easy. See ya, fuckers. Alright, they're gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just, you know, humming and singing to myself because, you know.
We're all alone.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm glad he came in now before we actually started. Because that would have been really awkward because you'd have been talking and then you'd have no one to talk to.
Hey, dude. That's why I was asking, like, hey, I mean, should we get a third person on just in case for, you know, the times that Brent's got to go to the fridge or, you know, he's got
to
take a piss or something like that?
We should be fine. They both left. Okay. Brad left and I left.
Yes, because those are my favorite bloopers. Out of any blooper that we've ever put on the show, those are my favorite bloopers. And in general, just whenever Brent would go and talk to his roommates, and I'd be like, Brent, over to you. Brent. Brent.
Yeah, so I'm a guitar hero.
Good times.
I'm surprised if the guy across the hall pops in sometime tonight, because like me and him are the last guys in the dorm right now. Everybody else has left, so he might pop in like and be like, I'm lonely.
Last man standing.
Dun, 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 dun.
Podcast Arena. All right, let's get one more question from Heath before I'm sure he needs to head out.
Oh, I wasn't prepared.
Anything you want to ask us, comic related, show related, anything.
Vamp, somebody vamp.
Vamp. Nickelodeon.
like that was nice. Chinese.
What's your favorite moment of hearing Comic Timing mentioned on someone else's podcast? Oh, wait. Never mind.
Well, my favorite moment of hearing Comic Timing mentioned on someone else's podcast was when Comic Timing was mentioned on Geeks Unite as one of the podcasts that spurred on Geeks Unite. Actually, no, not really. That wasn't my favorite at all.
Oh, ouch. Sorry.
I'm just bullshitting.
We love you, Raph and Juan. Only on Mondays.
My favorite moment was, kind of embarrassing for my part, though. But when I called Brent, what was it? Brent, what I called you in Florida?
Brent is, I should say, man, at no gain at all. Brent is the best looking one out of all of us. And so he's like,
you want to know how I know you're gay? You find Brent sexually attractive.
Yeah, and I thought the thing on the bloopers on the last episode was gay. Here, you got it beat, man.
Yeah, I'm
definitely not sure if I want to come tomorrow now.
Well, no, you got to worry if he shows up in a Speedo, all right? Because then you know things are doomed.
I'm going to call tomorrow and be like, Ian, you guys ready to go? Yeah, Brandon's going to come down and let you in. Brandon in a Speedo. Ah!
Where's the paper boy?
He was showing up, wasn't nice paper boy.
Come back, you piggly son of a Brent.
I don't know.
Band Pretty, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. No. That was a great moment. That was a wonderful moment.
Kind of creepy.
That's when we found out brand new things about Brandon that we never knew before.
That's why I slept alone.
And then I went and slept in Jim Seguin's room at New York Comic Con. All right. Anyway,
Well, I want to ask, but this might be a downer. I want to ask, is there anything you regret over the last 2 years? Or anything you would do differently now?
That's kind of a downer, dude. No, not at all, actually. I can actually right off say the one thing I would have did was actually have better equipment right off the bat. Because I think that the show increased in quality exponentially once I actually found a setup that worked. Because, I mean, when we first started off, I was using that desktop microphone where you could barely hear me. And, I was using Hot Recorder, and it was, like, flaky, and we wouldn't always get the recording to turn out right. I mean, if you remember, even in episode 2, it was that early that we had a recording out of sync. And that was, like, really hard to deal with even back then. And then finally, when I found a setup that worked around, like, episode, I don't even remember. It was about a year ago from now. When we finally found that setup, and since then things have been working a hell of a lot better, I think the show increased in quality like tenfold. So that's definitely what I would do. Right now I'm using a regular XLR microphone that's connected to the microphone jack of my sound card, and then I have the cord going from, you know, like the speaker jack in my sound card directly into the line-in jack on an iRiver. And that records both my side of the call and the Skype side of the call perfectly. So I'm using hardware to record as opposed to software.
You're like MacGyver.
Imagine how that was much better.
Yeah.
Oh, and because of it, also I got myself a shiny new iRiver also.
Haha.
That was part 2 of my good news before I got cut out.
Yay! Well, good to hear, Brandon. Good to hear. But yeah, that's what I use, and actually, I think that's the first time I've actually mentioned that on the show, as opposed to like vamping before we started the show. So that's the setup I now use for Comic Timing. And since then, I mean, the listeners can probably attest to this, that ever since I started using that, it sounded a hell of a lot better. So that's what I would have done. I would have gotten better equipment from the start.
And Brent, by the way, this second anniversary episode is brought to you by iRiver.
Yes.
Available at Circuit City and Best Buy.
Yeah, if you can find them.
Didn't they stop making those?
No, actually, they stopped making the particular iRiver that I have, but they do make other versions of iRivers. They still make like regular MP3 players with not nearly as like simple to use as the one that I have. Like, you know,
like iMississippi and iCairo, or not Cairo.
Yes. Thank you very much for naming other rivers.
iMissouri, iOhio.
So, Brent, I guess the thing that you would do differently is not make that joke.
Oh,
because I couldn't think of the fucking river in Africa. Nile. I-Nile.
I-Tames.
Actually, I-Nile sounds good. That almost sounds like the Nile.
I like I-Ohio.
I-Ohio. Whoa, dude, that's good. I-Mississippi. I-Erie. Although that's a canal. So that doesn't really work. All right, Brent, what would you have done differently?
EM Ian earlier.
Yeah, and that's actually probably what you should have done. Because, well, the story, which I think we've told before, is the same day Brent PM'd me about wanting, you know, like liking the show and thinking it was great, I was like, hey, we're recording in like 10 minutes. You want to come on? And then he never left.
You never asked me to leave.
Well, no. There were those times that I was like, wow, it's so cramped in my room. I just, like, there's really not much I can do here. Oh, God, like, I really wish I had more shoulder room on the internet. But he just didn't get the hint.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That hurts my feelings.
Aw. Do we need a group hug?
No.
Come here,
no.
Brett. Come here.
Shh.
It's okay. It's okay.
Take off the Ian mask if you're going to hug me.
Oh, Lordy.
I can't do that. That's too much to ask.
So, Heath, what would you do differently?
What?
What would you do differently on Comic Timing?
I would have known that you were going to ask me to ask questions and thought of something thought-provoking.
Okay.
And insightful.
Well, this is actually thought-provoking and insightful, so I believe you've done your job.
Well, then I wouldn't do anything differently, Ian.
Ha-ha! Let's move on to Brandon. Is there anything you would have done differently over the last 2 years?
Put out more episodes of his own podcast? Of the Quarterbin.
I'm saying that as a crackdown, and you're like, yeah, I would have done that.
Well, Brent has your number. By the way, listen to the Quarterbin if it ever comes out.
Actually, Brandon asked me here. The Quarterbin no longer exists.
What?
Yes. After the Wizard World Philly, I'll be starting a new podcast venture.
Is it going to be called Dollar Bin?
No. Oh, yeah, inflation probably.
It's inflation, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Quesada's $3.99, Ben.
Was it either going to be that or just Brandon's comic box of drawers?
Oh, jeez. Probably by drawboxes.com.
Yeah. Do you have a name for your new venture yet?
Not yet. It probably will be under the Quarterbin name, though, but it won't be the Quarterbin, though. It'll be like Geek Speak for you.
So, like, it'll be like the Quarterbin Report?
No. I'm trying to stay hip and trendy. Plus, I made all these business cards which say Quarterbin.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So you won't actually be able to keep those. Gotcha.
Are you going to be doing it through TalkShoe like that one episode that never went out, apparently?
It's going to go out. It's going to go out, all right. But yeah, it's gonna be done through talk shows. It's gonna be more like a different format, hopefully, instead of me just rambling on and on.
Cool.
And on
now.
But anyway, yeah, Brent, did I ask you the question yet? No, I did, and you gave the silly answer. So let's move over to Chris. Actually, you've been listening for a while. What would you have done differently?
On Comic Timing?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Well, give me your heartfelt opinion, because I know that you've been listening to the show, semi-regularly for a while now. I mean, is there anything at all that you would have done differently, that you would have even, told us, like, hey, maybe if you would have done this differently, that would have worked out better?
No, I've always enjoyed whichever episodes of Comic Time I've listened to. I've always enjoyed them. You can really tell that you and Brent are good friends, and you have a nice rapport going between the two of you, and I like the round table discussion side to it where, the cast always rotates, each episode. So I think you got a great podcast going, Ian.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And we are actually the number two roundtable discussion podcast.
Wait, there's another one now?
Yeah, Round Comics is back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you meant you were the roundtable discussion podcast about number two.
Welcome to Comic Shit.
Oh, boy.
Yes, we very much know all about that, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I guess you do agree with Chris, though. Like, you guys have probably one of the most laid-back podcasts ever, and it really does reflect on how you guys report, which is pretty cool.
Well, I want to thank you for that, and we're going to switch it over to some smooth jazz now here on Comic Timing, CD 101.9.
I'm actually you guys, like, almost remember how CGS used to be, like, way back when?
Uh-huh.
Like, and they're just,
the
you
good
know,
old days.
Guys, yeah, exactly. And there's just a bunch of guys talking about comics.
Uh-huh.
You guys still capture that. You guys may have all the sponsors and all, you guys may be serious sometimes, but you still have that, that good flow of, like, just a bunch of friends BSing around.
Why am I imagining now the All in the Family, like, parody involving comics? You know, where they're looking back on, like, the old days.
Boy, the way Lynn Miller played.
song that plays in the parade.
Wow. How old are you? Are you 50?
Ouch.
Brandon is as old as you want him to be.
Ow. Oh, my spleen. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, I've been shanked.
I'm nauseous. I'm nauseous. I'm nauseous.
Somebody's in my hand.
All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to regular questions now. But before I do, do you have to head out, Heath, or are you good? For
yeah, me? I need to go spend some time with my lady.
Okay.
The sea. My lady of the sea.
Wow, wow.
And the sea, little Sir Brander. Come on. You're a fine girl.
Anyway.
What a good.
Okay. Before you go, would you like to pimp your show?
Oh, that's nice of you. That's cool. Yeah, www.geekbrunchpodcast.com. It's another just conversation show. We get a guest each week, such as yourself. You've been on there.
Yes.
And we just talk about crap.
Hopefully.
And talk about movies. And
hopefully the next time I'm on it, I won't have to go after an hour and a half.
Yeah. Or you won't oversleep.
Yeah.
But who remembers things like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. It was fine. It was fine. It was a good show. It yes. turned into a really good show.
Well, I'd love to be on again if you guys want to have me on, and I won't oversleep.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, we're going to – we have like a little list of people that are still waiting to come on that haven't been on, but as soon as we get through everybody, we're just going to start going back to our buddies.
Sweet.
So, definitely, man.
How do you take them off?
What?
If you have Ian on, how do you take them off?
Well, with me, I can just take the mask off. That was bad.
I'm so scared right now. My room just dropped in temperature about 15 degrees, and I'm not even sure why.
It's like that scene in Point Break where they go rob the bank, but with Ian everywhere instead of, like, Nixon.
And the best part is I sort of had planned for this episode that I wasn't going to edit at all, and I was just going to put it out as, like, a two-year anniversary special. So all of this is just staying in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm not making it up. It's totally true.
Oh, I know. I know. And that makes it even scarier.
All can right. you hear it? Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
That's the mask.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Can you hear this? This is me dialing 911.
I've cut your phone lines.
You don't know me. Yes, I do.
I'm in the house.
Do you like scary movies? Actually, I do, actually. In fact, would I like to go? Would you like me to go down my top five?
I'm watching you, Amy, right now.
Who knows? All right, anyway. Yeah, thanks for being on for the short time that you were on, Heath, and thanks for adding to the show.
Thanks for asking me to come on. And listen, man, congratulations on 2 years, because a lot of people pod fade after just a few episodes, and you've stuck with it, man, and that's good. I'm proud for you.
Well, thank you, and thanks.
That's
for,
a good show.
And thanks for doing Geek Brunch as long as you have.
Well, you are welcome.
We're just spreading the love right now.
I love all of you guys.
I get puke.
Oh boy. Anyway.
All right.
But seriously, congratulations. I'll see you guys later.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
All right. That was Heath. So let's move on to a nice four-person roundtable discussion here. Even though I guess that's technically a square table, but who's asking, really?
Rectangular.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Who knows? But we might be joined by a couple of people later on if they pop on. But for now, let's just do it the three-way or the four-way.
Ooh.
Hey, who? Now, before I go to the actual forum thread, does anybody who's on the call right now have any questions that they'd like to ask anybody? Brandon and Chris, I'm looking in your direction.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Sure.
The first one I wanted to ask is, coming up in the summer, it seems we got a lot of creative team changes going on. We've got Geoff Johns leaving Bushigold at issue 1 million. We've got Brubaker Fraction and Asia hopping off Immortal Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. And we've got Mark Wade off of Brave and the Bold at issue 16, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if any of you guys are getting any of the titles that are going to see some creative team changes. Are you going to be sticking with those, or are you going to be seeing those as jumping off points?
Huh. Well, you know what? I can right away say that I'm definitely going to stick with Booster Gold after this because I know that Rich Johnson had heard rumors passed on to him because he wasn't actually there that Dan Juergens might be taking over Booster Gold after Jeff Johns leaves. And if that is
yeah,
the case,
I saw that.
If that's the case, then that's going to be great because, well, Dan Juergens created the character in the first place. So he wrote the I forget, did he create the character or did he just write the series?
Created it.
He did create it. Okay, yeah. Then yeah. I mean, so obviously getting a creator back in the book is going to be fantastic. With Brave and the Bold, however, depends on who's writing it, I think. Because I actually, and this is kind of sad for me to say because the art's been so beautiful and all that, I haven't really been that thrilled with Brave and the Bold so far. I think that it's good. It's just kind of boring in spots. And I think that might just have been from like this 12-issue arc that they were doing. And I hate to say that I like am one of those guys that can't stand long stories, but I think I kind of learned from this that I don't know if I can take 12-issue long arcs, especially when they feel like in one way or another they might have been written for the trade.
Flash issue was awesome, though.
Oh, yeah, no. And there were plenty of individual issues that were great. Like, for instance, the issue with Ultraman and Superman, the first one,
mm-hmm.
was really good. And I enjoyed bits and pieces of the one with Ryan Choi, Adam, and Hawkman. That was really good. But it's just that there were some issues in the middle that I don't even remember at this point because they just really didn't stick in my head. Let's see. There were a few others also. I had the luck of picking up Iron Fist, one issue of Iron Fist, on my last order, only to find out that the creative team of Iron Fist is leaving the book. So now I'm like at this point where I don't know whether or not I'm going to even bother picking up any further issues of it. So I'm just going to say no on that. But their Checkmate, however, I'm going to give a shot. With Bruce Jones, I know that he's sort of wronged us in the past, Brent especially. But, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe this will turn out to be the one good book he's actually written in a while since Incredible Hulk, or the early parts of Incredible Hulk, because the end of it kind of wasn't that good. But, maybe I'll get lucky, so I'm going to give that a shot. So those are the ones that I'll be at least continuing on, and maybe there'll be a few others. I know the Blue Beetle I'm going to continue picking up, because that's going to have a pretty decent creative team sticking with it, even after the current writer leaves. I believe it's who's the
Matt Sturgis.
Yeah, there we go. Sturgis, and I've been liking his stuff co-writing with Willingham, so it'll be nice to see him on his own. So there we go. Brent, what about you?
Brave and the Bold, I think I'm just gonna see who the new writer is and just take it by like a case-by-case basis. I'm gonna have to disagree with you on like Brave and the Bold's kind of, I think it was good, but the first six issues I thought were great, fantastic. The Blue Beetle issue number 3 is my absolute favorite. But once they got to number 7, all this Magista stuff, and they started veering off into these different time periods and shit, I think that's where it lost its focus. Because really, the first arc was, okay, let's start out with Superman, or Batman and Green Lantern, and then those will split off, and they have to team up to other people to accomplish a different goal. And then once the book stopped being that, where they just went to like a random team that was doing stuff, I think it kind of lost its focus. And then like here, at number 12, they just packed in everybody together that's ever been in the book. And it was just kind of like, what the fuck? Especially coming out like, not every month. Like we had like a couple months on, a couple months off. And George Perez leaving probably didn't help either. So.
Yeah. Although Ordway's been churning out some really decent art.
Collins on the book scares me though, because he's really completely different style from Perez and Ordway. So
right.
I'm trying to wrap my head around why Collins is going to be taking over the art chores on it.
I would have went with more maybe a Joe Bennett or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, let's go back to you, Brent. What were you saying before you got cut off there?
I'm going
to
be on for like 2 issues or something.
Who, Collins?
He's only on for 2. He's on like 2 or 3 or 4.
Something like that.
Yeah, I the past 2 issues that have been solicited, he's been on, so I don't know if that's to give Ordway time to come back on the book or if he's going to be the new regular penciler or not.
That's what it is. Ordway's on for like 1 more after 12. I think he's on for like 13 or 14.
Yeah, he's doing 13.
Like both of those. He's doing 13. I think Collins comes on for the next two after that, and that's the ones that have been solicited, right?
Okay.
Oh, well, so, yeah, so maybe since Wade's last issue was 16, maybe he's going to do that one too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Brandon, how about you?
I'm not really a... Yeah, I do like certain creative teams. I'm not a person who will jump ship, like, right when my creative team leaves. I usually will give them maybe, like, a span of, like, 3 or 4 issues to really get their feet into the book. So right now I think I'm going to stick with what I'm reading. I'm still definitely loving Batman Outsiders. No, I know that's not going to change for at least a little bit. I'm looking at the Teen Titans, and I'm still... I'm probably will stick with Booster Gold also after post 1 million. So again, I'm not the person who will jump ship right away. I like to give people, like, you know, maybe 3 to 4 months to get their feet wet in the book. So I'm not going to change much, I don't think.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Brent, there's something else you wanted to say, right?
I was going to say Booster Gold. I'm not really sure about what I'm going to do about, just because any Dan Jurgens stuff that I've read, it's kind of been like the old stuff and hasn't really blown me away, so I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Iron Fist I haven't been reading, so it doesn't really apply. There's something else. Blue Beetle I'm going to stick with. Hopefully that's still just as good, but I'm kind of afraid that the book's like going to get canceled here soon because the numbers aren't like fantastic. I mean, All New Adam got canceled recently.
I know, which was a real shame because I love the character of Ryan Choi.
And Catwoman's gone as of like 2 months from now or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes me sad also.
Well, it does also make you think whether or not perhaps, Catwoman might be that big Batman villain that's going to be joining Secret Six. Because it's sort of synergy there, I guess, to have her book be canceled and then end up on that.
That make Catman and Catwoman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would they make cat babies?
Yes. And then Cat Baby can actually join the cast.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we can maybe have, like, I don't know, let's see. Could we have Cat Dog?
Oh, ouch.
I didn't even mean the Nickelodeon character.
Oh, boy.
I did not even mean the Nickelodeon character.
Yes, you did, you liar.
Yeah, you did.
Hello, what in the world is a little Cat Dog?
Cat Dog.
This is the dumbest cartoon ever.
Yeah, tell me
about
it.
Yeah, it was.
All right, well, we're joined here by Ziggo, who just came on, and of course his real name in life is Leroy. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too bad, not too bad. Just kicking it, enjoying it. We had Heath on before, so now you're guest number 5 to be on the show.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Anyway, I'm going to be quick because I want to go watch Supernatural. So really quick, did you read my question I posted in the forums?
We haven't actually gotten to it yet, no.
All right, so just read it from there. I just wanted to say congrats on your 2-show. And also, I spoke to Hank from Bulletproof and Peter, and I told them about it, and they say congratulations on their behalf as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And make sure to say to Hank, thanks a lot for the kind words.
Yeah, I'll let him know on Tuesday when I get back.
Excellent.
Well, sorry I can't stay on, but I want to go watch Supernatural. So I'll see you guys. Congrats again, and... thank you for entertaining me at my job.
That's what we're here for, man.
Yeah. All right, later, guys.
All right, take it easy. All
right,
there we go.
That guy kicks ass right there.
Yes, indeed. Well, he's the guy who asked the lovely question at the DC panel, dressed as Jason Todd. Can I have my own title?
Ooh.
Awesome.
What was this?
This was at New York Comic Con this year.
Oh, by the way, thank you for asking the Young Justice question.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I had to. Come on, man. Somebody has to.
Wait, they gave Time Masters their own trade. Young Justice, come on.
Well, you know that they're not going to do it as long as the Superman litigation case is going on.
That's true.
Yeah, because, I mean, Superboy and Superman are both in trouble right now, and as long as that's going to be happening, they're certainly not going to be making any more Superboy trades of any way, shape, or form. That means his solo series is out and Young Justice is out, pretty much.
They can just go in and rewrite Kal-El every 5 seconds, can't they?
Yes, why don't you get right on that?
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm emotional.
And I did,
when I get emotional, I get irrational.
I gave your t-shirt to Denise as well, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Yes, the t-shirt.
Did she slap you?
No.
Did she slap you for me?
No. No, there was no slapping. She said thank you very much. It was almost the exact same Wonder Woman logo that Amy had on a sweatshirt that she was given early in the week. So now they match.
Yeah, sweet. Well, I was there vicariously. I listened to all the podcasts, and I saw LW and Denise on YouTube, actually.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What was that for again? That was for Geek Squad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that scares me.
Why?
Dude, Geek Squad doing podcasts? Best Buy is the devil.
We have Geek Unite. We have Comic Geek Speak. We have Geek Speak. We have Speak Geek Speak. Why not Geek Squad podcast or vidcast?
But it's Best Buy.
It's Geek, yeah, that's true.
It's Geek Squad.
That's true.
They install cameras in people's showers when they're not looking.
It's better than Fire Dog.
What's that?
Circuit City's Geek Squad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Fire Dog. Fire Dog. Wood.
That's a horrible name.
Yeah, no. All right, you got any more questions for us, Chris?
Well, this one is for you, Ian. How totally kick-ass was the season premiere of Doctor Who?
Oh, dude, that was kick-ass.
I know.
First off, I wasn't really sold on Catherine Tate at first. Because I was hot and cold on her in that first episode that she did,
The Bride.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she actually sort of hit it out of the park. I mean, it was actually kind of old school Doctor Who. You know, you don't often get some that like nice, friendly, fun, happy feel from Doctor Who, and that's what we got out of her so far. And I've been enjoying. I watched the first three episodes of the season so far, and I'm now going to be watching. Actually, I'm probably going to be just stockpiling 4, 5, and 6 because the friend I usually watch it with is going to be out of town until the 11th. So we're probably just going to watch them all like back to back to back. But I've been enjoying that. I also recently finished Sarah Jane Adventures.
And how is that?
That's a lot of fun, too. Just like I mentioned old school Doctor Who action with this new season, that is totally old school Doctor Who. I mean, like, in the kids factor and the works.
Now, are you also watching Torchwood, too, or no?
Yes, I am watching Torchwood, otherwise known as Gay Sex Fiesta.
Yes. That's much about that. But it's a Brit show. What do you expect?
Yes, and the finale, holy shit, the finale.
I haven't watched the finale for Torchwood yet, but I did see the first episode of Doctor Who for the season.
I'm not going to spoil Torchwood for you then. You got to watch it, man. It was amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the best line in the season opener for Doctor Who is, who am I? I'm the Doctor.
Well, actually, no. The best line are the unspoken lines where they're
that like, was awesome. Yeah, that's...
where they're doing like mime and sign language across from like the two windows.
Are we interrupting you?
Yes, it was very, very fun. Right, Brent?
Sorry, I fell asleep there for.
Douche.
Well, I was expecting to hear your usual line. What?
I had one prepared this time.
Aw.
It's his new for the next 2 years, that's his new line.
Yeah.
He's starting afresh with the 2 year anniversary.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Better than prepared you did.
Stop, we're trying to have a raffless episode here.
I know. Uh oh. Now the minute you say that, I guarantee you he's gonna end up on Skype.
Probably will.
Well, I think he's seeing Iron Man tonight. I think he's seeing Iron Man tonight, so that's probably where he is.
I thought they're in Toronto Friday.
There are scattered showings on Thursday in New York.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm seeing it tomorrow at 7:30 in a digital screen in New York, so that'll be fun.
IMAX, baby.
I'm
IMAX.
Seeing Saturday.
Oh, you seeing it in IMAX? Oh, damn.
Hopefully.
Lucky bastard.
I mean, I live in Philadelphia. We got one of the biggest IMAX screens in the United States.
Yes, I repeat, lucky bastard.
There's got to be an IMAX thing in New York.
There is, but it's a pain in the ass to get to, and it's actually not that good. The screen itself is sort of worn, so you see like all the little like tears in it, and it sort of takes away from the experience.
Where is it at?
It's in Lincoln Center.
Oh.
Where is it at?
Lincoln Center.
Where's it at?
Lincoln Center.
Where's that?
Like around the 70s in New York, in Manhattan.
The where's high rent that?
District. Are you going to turn into, like, Mindy from Animaniacs and just be like, why? Why?
Okay, I love you, bye.
I don't know, you just say Lincoln Center, and I know nothing about New York, so I'm just like, okay.
I thought most people knew where Lincoln Center is.
Yeah, you don't like...
I have no fucking clue anything about New York. The only thing I know about New York is what the Spider-Man 2 game tells me.
That's Flatiron and all that fun stuff.
Says, you're in Chelsea. You're in Flatiron. Well, oh, there's
Gramercy
the Daily Bugle building.
Wait, you want,
Gramercy Park. You want to bet that
like most people right now think that all of New York is led by the Russian mafia thanks to the new Grand Theft Auto.
GTA 4?
Yeah.
Hey, no, that's set in Liberty City, darn it. Not New York.
Oh, yes. City. Liberty City is a very different place than New York City.
We even have our own Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. With a beating heart inside of it.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Boo-boo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do a good job of I guess, like, transferring over a lot of the landmarks in New York City, which is pretty cool. One of the beer gardens I go to in Queens is included in the game.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, what's up?
I saw your name in the Pokedex.
Ah, yay!
Yours and Chris's.
Recognition!
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and actually, the new guide for the Mystery Dungeon and the new Pocket Pokedex, I'm also in.
Yeah, speaking of Pokemon, I was on the Earth2.net forum, and I was in the thread for their latest episode. This guy posted this link to one of the ads that ran on the WB that had Batman singing the Jigglypuff song.
Was this the old one?
It was the Gotham Knights.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Of Batman the Animated Series. It was
something
hilarious.
The WB did. The WB did that for like a promo, like during the block.
Remember?
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
that's almost as good as you know, Batman singing on that episode of JLU.
Oh, yes.
Kevin Conroy is one silken voice master.
Yeah, I know. And then the guy on YouTube made the Dennis Leary "I'm an Asshole" set to that.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. That was awesome.
All right, you got any other questions for the group, Chris?
Not this time that I can think of.
All right. Well, then actually, I'll ask Brandon. Brandon, you got any questions for everybody?
Yeah, I actually do. This one's been on my mind for a little bit of time.
Okay, now I'm scared.
If you could just listen to. Well, actually, if you could say, what was your favorite guest on the show, who would you say?
Okay, see, that's called picking favorites.
Okay, fine. Your most memorable guest.
All right, most memorable guest. That's better. Okay. Well, this is sort of tying into, I guess, favorite show, but David D adds a lot to almost every single show he's on.
I will promise to be less ginormous this time.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
And congratulations, 50 episodes and other podcasts and all the stuff that you do at your young age is quite a thing.
Well, thanks a bunch, man. I'm glad to have made it this far without dropping dead. So thank you.
Well, the night's young.
And I mean, like the 52 episodes that he was a part of. Without him, they wouldn't have really happened because he just brought so much of a wealth of knowledge to the show. And when he was on episode 50, that was a lot of fun. And he's such a great guy in person as well. And the combination of John and David D is just a lovely combination also. So, I'll go David D with that. He's probably the most memorable guest. Other than him, if you want to go memorable as in, like, you know, I guess maybe like real, like in the industry guys, Freddie. No question. Freddie Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's Freddie. I don't even really need to explain it. He's the man.
Nicest guy in the world.
When did we have him on?
What? Freddie E. Williams, dude.
When was that?
Episode 50 he was 50? On. Yeah.
Sean and Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you know the segment that you hosted?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, Brent.
Well, plus also there was the episode that you weren't on, the New York Comic Con wrap-up from last year. And I'm trying to think, do we have him on for a regular episode? No, I think that was really it, unless I'm remembering wrong.
I don't think we did, because, we talked about his Flash stuff on episode 50.
Right. I'm also looking up for myself here, just so I can actually remember whether or not that's... And pretty recent, but the Air Force guys are really cool. Really, really cool. That was a lot of a fun interview to do in New York Comic Con. That like half-hour-long sit-down I had with the guys who do Air Force was really, really fun. So, yeah, let's move on to Brent.
Most memorable? I like talking to Sean and Jim, basically, because I listen to their show, and I'm kind of on it sometimes.
And it's the closest thing to being on their show you'll ever get.
Exactly. Ooh, especially since they keep putting off the Blue Beetle segment. But, you know, hey, whatever. I do like having John and Bob on just because they have a different, more mature and less fuck-off perspective of comics. You know, they don't fuck around. They actually answer questions and, you know, we don't have to pry them for answers. They have meaningful thoughts.
So you think
hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We're just being silent, trying to soak it all in.
It just went silent, so yeah. I like having David Dion, but I've only been on one episode with him, so.
Yeah, because before then he was avoiding you.
Kind of shifty.
You know that Booster Gold? A little shifty. Who is the most memorable person you were on a show with, Brennan?
I haven't been on many shows, though, so that's the thing.
Come on. You've been on a decent amount of shows. Almost all with Raph, so I guess you'd have to answer Raph. Now you're making me go into my archives to see just how many episodes you've been on.
Three.
Let's see. I'll be the judge of that. Let's find out. Because you got to factor in the MegaCon episodes also.
I'm not counting live shows.
Well, too bad because I am. All right, let's see.
We put some. They count.
Yeah. All right. So one, two, three. No. One, two, three.
There's
when
Brandon?
I put in Brandon, I was getting episodes you weren't actually on. So let's see.
There's more than one Brandon in the world? Oh, I cannot be.
I know. All right, you've been on three. If you count the MegaCon episodes, you've been on five.
Mm-hmm. Told you.
And if you count the Comic Timing Syndication episode of the Quarter Bin, you've been on six.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see that guy. He loves his team, because he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a little much of a dick, though.
It's a little bit sometimes, though.
Yeah.
He's like Iron Man, a little scrawly sometimes, but it's all right.
And I won't ask Chris because he's been on only one episode, so, yeah. Because then he'll just have to answer, yeah, Jen, because Jen's great to be on a show with.
Canadian.
A.
Canadia.
Did you say Candidio?
Candidio. No, Canadia.
Okay, because I was about to say, I thought you turned Dandidio Canadian for a minute there.
That's question A.
Or even better than that, the soda named after Dandidio, Candidio.
Oh, jeez. Or some hot video dogs.
I hurt now.
Oh.
All right. Any other questions you got for the group, Ben?
I'm thinking. Hold on.
Should we call him Marlon?
Yes. Yes,
please, Marlon. No, please don't. No.
I was thinking the same thing, Brent.
You don't have to be Marlon Brando. You could be like Marlon Wayans.
Oh, see now that, you know what I call that? I call that stereotyping, because just because he's black, he looks like Marlon Wayans, and that's just not right.
I didn't say looks like him, I'm just relating that at first.
Oh, great, so all blacks sound alike now. Jesus, man, it's like...
Oh, Marlon, and Marlon Wayans. Hey.
No, you're stretching.
Yeah.
No, I'm not stretching at all.
Yeah, just a little.
Okay. Now I'm actually stretching. Ah, that felt good.
And there you go, folks. Ian stretching. A round of applause.
Woo! You know, I'm going to get really interesting responses for this episode because half of them are going to be like, yeah, wow, I really enjoyed how loose this episode was without any editing whatsoever. And then the other half are going to be like, so now I see why you guys edit.
Yeah. Yeah.
One long blooper.
Uh-huh. Oh,
by the way, Mr. Wade, we're sorry.
Now that's a moment in Comic Timing history.
Yeah, it is.
Brent Cassina interviewing the first person he's interviewed on his own, Mark Waid.
And out of the park, too.
Yeah. And then Raph scaring him.
Not that many books by him.
So, like, the thing is, like, you know, like Ian and I started small with the interviews. We get, like, you know, the small press. No, Brent's like, no, F you guys. Let me get the freaking big time. Mark Waid, how's you doing? Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I could have gotten the big-time interviews also at New York Comic Con this year, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here And if people come up to me, I'm going to be like, here, have a seat. Would you like to talk about your book? And that's exactly what I did.
I was half expecting to be bored as shit on listening to all those because I have no clue who they were and I wasn't at the con. Mm-hmm. But I actually wasn't, so you did a good job.
Yay!
High five.
And what's also important is you couldn't really hear the Jedi stomp that much.
Jedi stomp?
Yeah. We were right next to the stage, so at times there were performances going on in the background.
Did they have a wet t-shirt contest?
They did not have a wet t-shirt contest. If they did, I would have been scared about all the fanboys taking off their shirts for the wet t-shirt.
No, stop. Do not paint that mental image.
I was going to say something similar. I was going to say I'd be scared about the girls who entered because it might look weird.
Well,
They're in chainmail.
Also, remember that some of the people that go to these cons don't really shower, so that would have been their first shower.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Con funk.
That's what New York Comic Con needs, hot girls and a wet t-shirt contest.
So now that we've talked about hot girls and a wet t-shirt contest, as I look out at my Azrael figure, Brandon, what do you got any questions?
Anything to do with Azrael?
I can't top that, really. I really can't.
Does that have anything to do with Azrael?
I don't know. I just felt like mentoring Azrael because we haven't mentioned him in a while.
Is that like a link between masturbating the girls and wet t-shirt contest to me, like, masturbating to an Azrael podcast or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, actually. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Speaking of toys, segue.
Yay!
Mighty Mugs, have you guys seen them yet?
Wait, Mighty what?
Mighty Mugs?
No, I haven't, actually. Please explain.
Okay, Mighty Mugs are made of 100% PVC, and they're like chibi characters of sorts. I know Chris thought about on his show before a couple times. And I was listening to his show. It's about the new line of Star Wars figures coming out for Mighty Mugs. And they came out, and they look fabulous. They're like these little guys with like, little round heads, little round accessories, mm-hmm. and little, you know, droopy arms. And they're pretty cool.
Like Legos?
Not Legos so much, but like...
Little round heads, little round arms, little round people.
Not so much. They're like pudgy, dare I say. And so far...
Legos are blocky. They can be pudgy. They don't have six packs.
No, they're not blocky. They're pudgy. They're rounded. They're very well aesthetically pleasing. Now, that's a big word there.
More cushion for the cushion?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
They're not sex toys, Brent.
I didn't say they were. I'm just asking.
Anyway.
Equinox has this to say.
Nice transition, sir. Nice transition.
Don't talk about stupid toys anymore.
You're not a twink like you are you?
What?
I said, you're not a twink like you are you?
My thing just beeped. My computer's beeping and it's telling me it doesn't want to talk about toys anymore either.
Yeah. Your computer farted. All right. Well, anyway, Brandon, you got any other questions for us before we move on to the questions in the thread?
Honestly, no, I don't have any at all.
Okay. Well, then you know what? I got a question for you guys.
Oh, no.
Okay. Here we go. All right. You know what? It just came in my head and went away. So here, I got it. Okay. What podcast would you have created had you never heard your first podcast, if that makes any sense? Say you're starting new, you never even like heard any other podcast before. What is the podcast you would have started? Would it have been, you know, what you ended up doing, like BK's Bullets or Quarter Bin or Amazing Spidercast, or do you think you would have done something entirely different? And
Amazing Azrealcast, definitely.
I knew that was coming.
100 episodes, one issue an episode.
I knew that it was coming. I totally knew that it was coming, but I was going to ask it anyway. But Chris, would you have done anything differently, or do you think you would have ended up doing a Spidercast anyway?
Well, I probably would have, but it was really between my two favorite superheroes are Spider-Man and Batman. So I was deliberating between the two characters when I originally set off because I knew I wanted to do a podcast about one character because that had pretty much not been done at all, really, in the comic podcasting scene. But I probably would have still ended up doing Spider-Man, I think, because he's my overall favorite. So I think I would have still gone with him.
Cool. Now, Brent, would you have done a podcast at all had you have never found Raging Bullets and, you know, decided, hey, I should start doing audio comments?
That's what I was going to ask you about, because your question says, or sounded like, if you had never heard of podcasts or never listened to one, what podcast would you start? And my response to that one would be, well, I wouldn't start any podcast. I'd be listening to the shit out of my CDs more than podcasts now, because I wouldn't know about podcasts.
Okay, fine. You've heard of podcasts, but you've never listened to a comic podcast. Better?
I don't think I'd start one. I don't know.
Okay,
I'd start. It depends on what I was listening to.
Okay. Well, then, you've heard of comic podcasts. You just never listened to Raging Bullets.
Okay, for like a while, I was thinking about, since the Amazing Spider-Cast started up, and that was a big hit, I was thinking about doing like a Batman podcast, but that the whole time and money issue kind of put that off to the side. And I was like, oh, maybe somebody won't do it till later, and then now we have like three of them. So that's not coming down the pipeline. That's stopped up back there.
Yeah, there are
Drano that erases the other ones.
Yeah,
that'll come down.
There are like three Batman podcasts now, aren't there?
Well, there's one that's Spider-Man. Defunct.
Oh, there's one at defunct.
No, actually, all right, I gotta tell you this story. All right, so I had in my mind to do the Amazing Spider-Cast. I had the blog set up. I got Audacity downloaded. I had a crappy microphone. I was ready to start podcasting, and then. The week I was gonna start doing the show, the Spider-Man Crawl Space website puts out a podcast. Totally cock-blocked me. Mm-hmm.
and that's when you think, damn it, they read my mind.
Exactly.
Should have brought a wingman.
From now on, I'm never thinking again.
It's like Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead 28 days later. Damn. But I still went ahead with it, but I was like, damn, if I had just gone out a week before, but no.
Yeah, and I thought preempted. I was so creative with that GeekSpeak name until I found comic podcasting and saw Comic GeekSpeak, and I was like, no!
Didn't you come first, though, Ian?
Yes, but I was a radio show. And there were also other GeekSpeak radio shows and podcasts out there. So technically, I didn't come first.
Oh.
Yeah.
He came second.
Yeah, there was... Thank you. There was...
You know what?
What's up?
If there was ever a time to start up a Spider-Man podcast, it would have been at the beginning of Brand New Day because the Amazing Spider-Cast apparently wasn't covering it. So we totally missed that.
Oh, we cover it. We cover it. Don't worry. Okay, here's the rundown. Okay, so I wasn't going to read it. And the plan was for my co-host, Jen... and her buddy Travis to review the episodes. I would, just mute my mic. I would be recording the thing. I would just mute my mic, interject once or twice, and that would be it. Then Jen, things started getting heavy with college, and Jen wasn't able to show up the week we were going to be recording. And I was like, well, I don't want to, because I like getting episodes out every week. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't want to skip a week, so I guess I'm going to have to take one for our team and actually read this. And so I read it, and I did the episode with Travis, and the first arc of Brand New Day, I liked it, despite all my seething hatred towards One More Day and Brand New Day as a concept. I enjoyed it. It was good Spider-Man, and I wish that, and I also think that, they didn't need One More Day to erase the marriage, because despite the obvious parts of it, they could have just told a regular Spider-Man story.
What's also good now is now that we've had you on, we're now actually filling our requisite Brand New Day conversation that usually ends up happening when we talk to Chris.
Which has only been twice, so.
Yeah.
All right, so then for the second arc of Brand New Day, Jen couldn't make it again. And I had pre-ordered, the first two arcs, and so
this
I was like,
2 months
okay.
in a row?
Yes, this was 2 months in a row, and I only pre-ordered two, so I only had to do that. I was like, okay, this is the last damn time, because I got no more, so we're going to have to miss, because I'm not reading it. And so, as opposed to the first arc I liked, I thought the second arc was shit. And I totally, besides the commentary episodes we've done, which we use as an excuse to just be crass, because it's a commentary, That was the only other episode beside the One More Day episode that got an explicit tag because I just went to town on how shitty this arc was. And then third month, I had the pleasure of having Ian on and Travis, and they did a really great episode. They, I think you did more, you did the page-by-page style, which I think you do for your Comic Time reviews when you sit down for an issue.
22 pages, and Invisible Iron Man number one, coming soon.
Awesome. I look forward to that.
Yay.
And so, they record a great episode, and we're actually going to be doing Arc 4 this Friday, and I've got Jen is actually going to be on for once. And then I think Juan Castro is going to be on too, and Travis, and also Crazy Chris, a listener and sometimes guest of ours. So we're going to have a full house. And also, I'm going to be introducing our new sponsor, HarrysHose.com.
HarrysHose.com, in association with Jewish Traveler.
So, do you get money for that, or do you get free service?
Well,
I'm missing a joke here.
Yeah, and you know that I also came very close to introducing you, Chris, on the show as Chris, the brand new day boycott is over thanks to J.R. Jr. Johnson.
Hey, don't...
Hey, got two words.
It's only for the
damn.
The boycott is not over, okay? It's only
over.
For the JR.
It's done. It's over.
No,
it's
no,
gone.
No. It's only for the JR Jr. It's only for JR Jr. That's the only reason I'm doing it.
Yes, 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 yes. And then when they get another artist that you like or another writer you like, it'll be no. It's only for them. I swear. God, you're
Jim Lee comes on Spider-Man. Boycott's over.
Dude, you're starting to remind me a little bit of Freak. It's like you need that one more hit, man. Come on, it's okay.
That's the storyline I hated. That was atrocious.
What, the Freak storyline? Yeah, and that's the one. And that's the one that I enjoy. Figures.
What?
Hey, listen to the Amazing Spider-Cast episode, and you'll be able to find out that I was very positive about it. And then I haven't had a chance to listen to Crazy Chris bash the arc yet, but. I'm sure that'll be fun.
We shouldn't go into detail because we'll save it for our episode when we do all 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which will be coming somewhat soon, I'm sure. Yeah, we're just going to find what day to do it and who we're going to have on for it, and then we'll all be well, all be good.
But, Chris?
Yes.
I think we should have Chris on for that one.
Dude, that's so meta.
Hey, I did read the first two arcs, so.
That's so meta, man.
Wait, ready? One, two, three, not it.
God damn it. Well, wait, I forgot. Is Chris Gallo still reading it, or did he drop it?
Chris Gallo is still reading Brand New Day. Okay. And as a matter of fact, Chris and I are actually co-hosting a spinoff from The Amazing Spider-Cast, which is The Spectacular Spider-Cast. And in it, we are reviewing the entire series of the Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man title.
Spectacular.
Volumes 1, 2, and 3?
No, just the volume 1.
Now, question. When do you get to Web of Spider-Cast? Because I think I really need to be a part of that.
Well, Jen and Juan are discussing doing an Ultimate Spider-Cast.
Okay.
So, Web of is open.
Or how about Spider-Cast 2099?
Spider-Cast Unlimited.
Oh, ooh. I would love to do a Spider-Cast 2099. That series kicks ass.
See, that sounds like stuff you could just do instead of doing the One More Day stuff.
Or perhaps you could do Spider-Cast Team Up, where you team
that
up
would
with
give you something
with,
to read.
You team up every single week with a different podcast.
Well, unfortunately, Brent, the Brand New Day episodes are the ones that get the most downloads.
Really?
So.
Well, we all know why that happens. I mean, it's because you get wonderful guests for them that you know just people just really want to listen to, you know.
Right on.
It's like a train wreck. You just want to listen to it.
It's because they all want the Jewish Traveler.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Endorse team.
Let's go back to actually asking and answering questions. All right. How about that?
Considering... I feel skipped on this question, though.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fine. Brandon, do you think you would have created a different podcast had you not heard the first podcast you heard?
Confusing question, but yeah, probably. My first podcast was called Ramblecast, and it was more like tech, geeky, video gaming stuff. So that's probably I'll probably stick with that. Tech, geeky, video gaming stuff. Because it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Kids like it.
Yeah, chicks dig it.
Yeah, like emo music. Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. No, not like emo music at all.
What do you mean, not like emo music? Emo music's... Yeah, you're right, it's not probably still.
Yeah, thank you.
Kids love it.
Thank you. Cheeks dig it.
Penance digs it.
Penance digs a lot of things into his skin.
Oh, my life is big.
Rim shot.
But, let's actually go to the question thread. How about that? All right. So here's the question that Brent refused to answer, but I'm gonna throw in the Cardinals just so he'll be able to answer it. Can you match the following baseball teams? This is from Equinox, by the way. So you know what? Let's let's say it right. Equinox has this to say. Can you match the following baseball teams with the following comic book publishers, a.k.a. team equals publisher, and why did you match them that way? Yankees, Red Sox, Marlins, Orioles, Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image. And I'm going to throw in the Cardinals there, and I'll add in IDW.
What, no Mets?
No. No Mets.
Oh, they're just my answer.
They could be Marcosia, the Mets.
Chuck's a Phillies fan. He's a Phillies fan.
Yeah, that's true. All right, but anyway, yeah, so I added in a fifth there. It's the Cardinals, and IDW's in there also. So, all right, fine. We'll throw that over to Brent first since he got his Cardinals in there.
I'm going to have to say the Cardinals I'd put as DC, as once great, always great, but not on top all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
It seems to be Marvel that's getting all the market share month in, month out. The Yankees, I guess I would put with Marvel because I think they're overrated.
Oh! Zing!
And I kind of hate the Yankees, so... But I don't hate Marvel, but I just kind of think they're overrated.
Okay.
Red Sox, I'd put with Dark Horse because they're kind of a dark horse. You know, they've only won two World Series ever. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So, I just... The name thing kind of... And who else we got? Marlins or Orioles? I'm going to go with Orioles as Image just because the Orioles were pretty good, you know, 15 years ago when Cal Ripken's on. They're getting a little better now.
Ouch.
It doesn't seem to attract me as a team anymore.
Right.
So an Image is kind of doing the same thing for me. I mean, I like Invincible. I think it's great, but there's nothing else they're really putting out that's kind of going, pick me up. And as for 15 years ago, I'm still waiting on the fifth collection of Spawn to come out so I can read that.
Any day now.
Yeah, right. So, but for some reason, that keeps getting delayed, which is a whole other topic. But and I guess the only one left, Marlins with IDW, as in my opinion, they both suck. So.
Oh! Ouch,
ow!
Dude, come on!
Oh, that's a slap in the face.
Fallen Angel, man. Fallen Angel.
Yeah, I don't read Fallen Angel, and I don't watch the Marlins, even though they're on my home state team. Because they suck.
Hold on, I got it. Okay. Yeah, the phone's ringing, of course, but all right. Anyway, yeah, you could say
stop
that.
Doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Stop doing the dishes.
Yeah, she stopped doing the dishes.
Can you keep the all pots down?
There we go. That's classic, boom, boom.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Hey, all this is staying in. Yeah, so I'm gonna match... Next, and should be very, very easy. The Yankees, I obviously will match with Marvel because, number one, Marvel makes the most money, and so does the Yankees. So that much is definitely going to be there. The Yankees are always on top, and Marvel's always on top in the leaderboards.
That's what she said.
Woo! And, of course, Marvel on occasion... their books get delayed, and a lot of games have been delayed by rain so far this year for the Yankees. So that's why they're very similar. Let's see. We got the Red Sox. I'm going to have to match with IDW because IDW is not nearly as successful as a lot of the other ones on the list, and the Red Sox are not that successful. But, you know, they do manage to win one or two, just like IDW has one or two books on the top list. They've got, the Silent Hill books when they come out and Fallen Angel. We've got the Cardinals, which I'll match with Dark Horse, I think. Because, well, the Cardinals are, they're scary. So Dark Horse puts out a lot of horror books. So I guess that works for them. image I'm going to match with the Baltimore Orioles, because just like we explained before, well, they were good 15 years ago. let's see. The Marlins I'm going to put with... wait, there's really only one left, is there? D.C. Yeah, Marlins in D.C. Yeah, that works. Not really. I'm putting it there anyway, because I got nowhere else to put them. So, yeah, there you go. D.C. Marlins. Yeah.
Well, that was insightful.
Yeah, now tell me about it. Moving on to Brandon.
Wait, you think D.C. sucks, so the Marlins suck?
No. Okay, fine. Well, let me explain this a little better, actually, okay? D.C. has a lot of young talent, and the Florida Marlins have a lot of young talent right now. So that's why I'm going to match D.C. with the Marlins.
Like what?
Wait, Marlins? Or D.C.?
Like, what young talent on D.C.?
Oh, well...
Seriously. Give me some examples.
Jeff Johns,
yeah.
J.G. Jones?
He's still young.
Jeff Johns is, like, old and withered.
No, he's not.
He's, like, 32.
I mean, not really, but, like, he's been writing comics for a while, though.
So.
Since he was 25.
Yes.
Not 25.
He's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
That's still young in the industry.
Oh, come on.
Yes, it is.
Right, the only
old motherfucker at Marvel is, let's see, like Ron Frenz is drawing Amazing Spider-Girl. Claremont's got his own book or whatever because they can't keep him away from X-Men because there's some contract bullshit or whatever. And,
okay, fine.
DeFalco.
Fine, you know what? I'll challenge DeFalco. Fine, you know what? I'll change it to this, okay? To make it even better for you. The Marlins are always in a crisis and so is D.C.,
Ah,
you happy now?
Ooh,
well played, Ian.
Yeah, but DC's crisis is generate income. The Marlins' crisis is don't.
Don't give a shit. Let's move on to Brandon.
Fuck.
All right. I'm gonna say Marvel, the Yankees. Everyone's a fan, but only a name.
Okay.
And Marvel gets some big names, but they're always in slumps, so that's why I said they're the Yankees. DC is going to be the Red Sox for me because they're kind of like the wild card. They always have a good startup, but toward the end of the year or toward the end of the series, for the most part, they always have a little fall down. But it's always, they always will have that one which knocks it out of the park. You know, crisis is usually. Image is like the Marlins because they had King Griffey Jr. On the team 10 years ago, and look where he's at now. So, swimming away. IEW is the Orioles because I don't really follow IDW and I really don't follow the Orioles either. Did I miss anybody?
No, I don't think so. Well, wait. You matched Image, right?
Image, IDW, DC, Marvel,
and Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. What was Dark Horse? Oh, the Cardinals. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roids.
Woo. Chris, match him up.
I don't really follow baseball, so...
Match him up anyway.
Go arbitrarily. Yeah.
Alright, I will say the same exact thing that Brandon said.
Cool.
Hockey.
wait, say again, Brent? You were cutting out.
I said do hockey.
Oh, do hockey.
Match him up to hockey teams, because then we'll all get it. No, I don't.
I don't watch hockey.
Neither do I.
If you did football, that'd be a little bit different.
I don't know if the Rangers are a team in New York that I follow, and that's really all I follow.
And the Flyers are kicking all kinds of butt, yeah.
Yes. Aren't you happy?
Oh, yes. Flyers and Phillies, maybe Flyers and Phillies. Yeah.
Great. So let's move it on to Wood. Congrats on the 2 years. Here are some questions for your show. One, as relatively young guys... and actually everyone on this call is relatively young, have you experienced a period of malaise or jadedness towards comic books yet? If so...
Brand new day!
If so, what got you back into the swing of things? And Chris already pressed his brand new day button.
That was easy. Is that like the Staples button?
Yes, actually. And just like we should just get a recording of Raph saying my parents are dead, we should just get a recording of Chris saying one brand new day or one more day.
or DeFalco.
Yes, exactly, DeFalco.
Anything other than one slash brand new day that make you feel malaise or jadedness?
Well, I did have a thing to bring me back, and that's JRJR. So,
okay.
But I can't really think of anything that's really made me jaded. Except for a few things that were clunkers, I'm pretty much enjoying everything I'm reading right now.
Okay.
So I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, I know that I could probably bring up all the damn crossovers.
Oh, now that you mention it, the fact that Civil War sold like 200,000 copies a month, mm-hmm. and Annihilation only sold like 30,000.
Yeah.
That is just bullshit.
That'll do it. But that's because, well, Annihilation was the lesser advertised one, while Civil War, you know, got all the press and all that.
Seriously? Yeah, they didn't give it any press at all, even though it was better, in my opinion.
Yeah, but also, well, Civil War was the type of thing that you could, you know, go and talk about on the Colbert Report when
exactly.
I very much couldn't imagine someone going on the Colbert Report and talking about how awesome
yeah, Nova
is. It's yeah,
great.
I know.
Yeah, man.
Especially with
Great Lantern knockoff.
Seriously, Moondragon. She's a dragon now. Yeah.
Nova's got a really cool helmet.
And Techno AIDS.
Yeah. I mean, and I loved Annihilation, but it's just, yeah, Civil War was easier to market. But but anyway, like I was saying, the whole lot of crossovers where half of them don't even seem like they're going to mean something after they happen, and how, you know, when Final Crisis came out, they were talking about, even before that, when Identity Crisis came out, and DC was saying, oh, yeah, well, this is like our follow-up to Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it's going to be great. And then Final Crisis happened, and they were like, yeah, well, this is our follow-up to Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it's going to be great. And then they announced...
They're saying it's the end of the trilogy.
Right. It feels like they're sort of forcing that in. They're making more
crises. When it's convenient.
When it's convenient, yeah. And that sort of turned me off a little bit. What gets me back in the swing of things is reading good comics. It's really mm-hmm. as simple as that. Whether it be the actual... crossover surprising me, like Secret Invasion, which has me hooked right now, or just simple good comics like Booster Gold or Blue Beetle, or on the Marvel side, good comics like Avengers: The Initiative, or well, for me, Brand New Day, not for everybody. Then you know that's going to get me to like comics a hell of a lot more, and I guess that's sort of what swung me back into it. But we'll go to Brent.
Period of malaise. Not like mayonnaise.
I was just gonna say, and no, not mayonnaise.
Shit. I guess I had a period of.
What you would have rather talked about mayonnaise in comics?
I'll take the nice malaise sauce, please. Thank you.
I think what had me jaded was I was reading Infinite Crisis, and they got all these different artists, and I was just like, fucking A. You know, Phil Jimenez can't do 22 pages or whatever it was. So that was kind of annoying. Still kind of annoys me. Civil War delay annoyed me. I was just kind of like, ugh. You know? So it didn't make me get out of comics. I was just wishing, like, I didn't spend so much money on them.
Yeah.
There's something else recently that I forgot. I guess one more day, but I didn't really give a shit. So, you know, I'm reading the books and I'm liking them.
Yeah.
I guess that doesn't really count.
Well, what got you back into it, I guess, even after, you know, your malaise with the artists and all that? What got you back into it?
I think 1 year later was definitely a refreshing part of it. And 52 was refreshing. I think that really got me excited about everything in general. You know, going to the shop every week, picking up 52. 1 year later, the Superman title was great. I liked picking up both of those. Finally, there was just two Batman titles, and I could follow them easily. And those were, you know, that I love that James Robinson story. I don't care how much CGS bashes it and says it's mediocre. I think it's like one of the greats.
Grotesque or Face to Face?
No, not Face to Face. Like CGS bashing it two episodes ago or something like that, or three or four. And I was just like, what are you talking about? Because that had so many great moments. I mean, Batman on the roof with who's the fat guy? Bullock. You know, that was a great moment. There was just some great moments in there. It just got me excited for Batman again.
Because I remember getting like the first or second issue of that when it came out, and the university basketball team was winning the championship for the first time. And I was reading those as I watched the game, and I just had to squeal out loud. And because, like, you know, Batman and Robin just landed on the spotlight, and they're like, "We'll handle it, Jim." That was such a badass moment, and really got me into Batman again after kind of like being out of it. So, you know, I say to them, much better than you think it was.
Cool. Well, at least you found something to get you back into it. And Brandon.
I'm gonna say the '90s bus, really, because. Like, even though a lot of my favorite books came out in the '90s, like Slayers and Young Justice, it was just an overpowered crap, really, for the most part.
Okay. Hold on. Stop talking for a minute. Who's either blowing their nose or breathing through a straw? Anybody? Okay, because it sounded for a minute there that we were going through a vacuum.
We were in a wind tunnel. The wind is going
there it is again. There it is again. Okay, now it's gone. Brandon, start over. Wait, there it was again. The fuck?
You guys aren't funny. You guys aren't funny.
All right, get ahead, start over again.
Okay. So I guess what brought me out of comic books was the '90s bust, really. Most part.
What the hell?
Is it me?
I'm pretty sure it's Brent.
He's away from his computer, that's what he is.
Brent, are you away from your computer?
No, I was playing with the dust off can and I just sprayed it in the microphone.
You fucking like, suck, Brent.
Man.
You are such a boo-boo.
Oh, that's fun.
2 years, people. 2 years.
Can we mute him?
Welcome to the last episode of Comic Timing. All right.
We're calling it quits. Let's go on hiatus.
Yeah. Oh.
Ouch.
You're getting tired of me. Let's go on hiatus.
Snap. So, Brandon, over to you.
Yes, Ian, thank you.
Are you waiting for me to do it again?
He's afraid to talk now.
I guess what got me out of the comic books was the '90s bust because there was so much crap going on. At that time, I was like 15. I only really followed two books anyway, Slingers and Young Justice. And I followed both until the end, and I guess I was in college, like my freshman year in college when Young Justice ended, and that's really when I stopped reading because there was nothing else I really wanted to read at the time, and I was away at school and I really couldn't get the books as much as I wanted to. But what brought me out of it, probably the first book I read was the Prelude to Infinite Crisis, the OMAC project. That was just a great read. It was, you know, Greg Rucka telling a story that he's probably born to tell. Is, you know, about this murder, not so much murder, it was almost like this espionage book, which just hooked me right into it. And that's what probably got me back into reading comic books again, for the most part.
Brandon, did you read the filler Green Goblin series in the '90s?
No, I really didn't. That was, around what year was that?
95, 96, thereabouts.
95, 96, I was probably reading like one book a month probably around that time then.
Gotcha.
I really didn't start getting heavy into reading until probably like around 98, I'm guessing, like around 8th grade for me.
Gotcha.
And it was just, you know, all downhill from there.
So you missed it. Missed it by that much.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, probably the most memorable Spider-Man book for me was probably Identity Crisis. That was probably around 98, 99 then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 97, 98, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so that's probably, and that was probably the only book I was reading at the time. Because, you know, I was poor and I couldn't afford comics. I read them once and used them to keep my room warm.
So cold
in the suburbs.
Scared.
We don't use gas heat. We light bonfires in little rooms.
Question number two from Wood, and this one actually would be good if we actually had Raph on the call, but we don't. But what are you gonna do? Do either of you have any aspirations to work in the comics industry, and if so, to what capacity? And, well, we'll begin with, why not? We'll begin with Brandon.
Actually, yeah, I do. You guys probably know this, but I'm a writer. And I'm also working on a short webcomic about working at Toys R Us. Although I can't say I work at Toys R Us because there are certain legal obligations which I could probably get sued for.
You work at our Toys Us.
Yeah, I work. No, actually, I didn't tell you guys. I'm working on a webcomic called Lee Desert Brian. It's about this guy who just has like this wacky interaction with people in this toy store. It's called Uncle Wally's Toy Barn, and so some pretty crazy stuff happens. And it's based off some people at my job, and they all have some certain personality quirks. Let's just say that one issue involves not Cliff Jumper, what's it called? What was the game from the 70s? Pitfall.
Okay.
Yeah, there are alligator chaps in the toy store.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like it could be interesting. You planning like a specific time to put them out, or you just whenever they're done, they're done?
I'm looking for an artist right now, so as soon as I can find an artist, hint, if you guys can draw, let me know.
If you need somebody who can draw stick figures, I'm your guy.
Whoops, stick figure coming, go.
All right, well, Brent, do you have aspirations?
No, seeing as how I'm spending 5 years in college studying aerodynamics, I think it'd be a total waste just to switch now.
Oh, but it'd be great, man. I mean, you could use all that knowledge to draw buildings.
It worked for Gil Simone.
Yeah.
Aerospace engineering and buildings, what?
Yeah, sure, why not? You could build the space shuttles, maybe?
You could write Fantastic Four.
I can write a plane comic.
You can draw the Blackbird in every X-Men issue.
Flight of the Falcon Eagle, you know?
Yeah.
50 issues. And it'd be a lecture about, which airfoil has a higher critical Mach number, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have said. I agree.
Exactly, yeah. Circle gets square.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Your knowledge, your lingo scares me.
I know. Yeah, I said it to make myself feel smarter.
Yes.
Brent, what's your major?
Aerospace engineering.
Oh, dear Lord. You're one of those kids, aren't you?
Yeah, he reads comics, and he's into aerospace engineering.
No, one of the kids with the words that are big and smart.
Oh, yeah. Here, school us one more time. Give us some other phrase that we've never heard before.
The center of pressure is the point on the airfoil where the distributed load effectively acts on the airfoil and where the aerodynamic moment is zero.
Is that sex?
that's where he came from, in fact, yes.
That's what he's been doing for 5 years in college. That's what he's studying.
When the airflow is in the middle.
You are,
and it's
the
not at the centroid of the airfoil. It's not at the centroid of the airfoil. So don't even think that. Just because it says center of pressure doesn't mean it's at the center.
Okay, gotcha.
Brent, question for you, Brent. How well do you know planes?
Well.
All right. You say you've taken – okay, never mind. This really wouldn't matter to you, though, because you haven't taken any have you taken any piloting classes yet at all?
No, that has nothing to do with being an engineer.
Well, I should know. Well, okay, fine, just a little bit. But what are the ailerons on a plane used for?
The ailerons?
No, the ailerons. Ones in the back.
What?
The shuttle rods.
No, the ailerons. A-C-C-E-L.
Oh, accelerons.
Yes.
Accelerons. That's not on my fucking diagram that the teacher gave me.
Oh. Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brett just got stumped!
Oh! Confetti! Yeah, confetti!
Stump the Brent. One question.
Stump the co-host, not co-host, co-host.
Oh, yeah, baby. Way to go, high school. High school education. Yeah!
So, to answer Wood's question, going back to that...
No, he's got to say what they are first. What is it, Brandon? What do they do?
Oh, they're used for controlling drag on the plane. That's all.
They're used to control whether men dress as women on the plane.
Yes.
Wood has this to say. Just a creator, yeah.
Hey, we haven't even answered question two yet. So, I have the slightest aspirations to maybe be a comic book writer someday, but first I'd obviously need to prove myself in other writing fields because, you know, can't just go straight into it. You got to do something else first. And
write a Pokemon comic.
Yeah, hey, what a great idea. I still have this idea that I'd love to do someday about a convict that gets chosen to be the next Messiah. That I've been thinking of for years now that I might want to do.
Go.
Yeah, but oh well. But yeah, I would like to be a writer someday, and you know, I also write that Batman Beyond fanfic that barely ever comes out. Chris, do you have aspirations at all?
I can't really say that I do. Of course I have, you know, stories in my head of things that if I had the ability to do them, it would be fun to do. But I think I'm fine with just reading them, personally.
Cool.
That Batman Beyond fanfic, are you going to send that to your hentai dealer so he can make a movie out of it?
So anyway, Wood had this to say.
Oh,
it's not that type of fanfic, dumbass.
I knew it. I just had to nail you for it.
Did you bring the dealer again?
Yes, he did bring up the dealer again.
30 seconds ago.
I missed. I blanked out. I'm sorry.
That's how interested he is in this phone call.
No, I am, but I'm like, no, I couldn't hear Scott for a second. I'm like, oh, the dealer. Yeah, how is your dealer, Ian?
Let's go from there to who is the one creator you would most love to interview? Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I definitely have an answer to that, but I'm going to hold off on that, and I'll ask Chris first.
Steve Ditko.
Nice, if you can find him.
Exactly. So it'll probably never happen. But realistically, if there's a slim shot, but I'm going to see if John Romita Sr. would be willing to grant me an interview at Baltimore this year.
Excellent. And the sad,
I'm not sure how that's going to go, I'm going to give it a shot.
I'm very sad to say this, but New York Anime Fest the same weekend as Baltimore Comic Con.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah, they moved it about three times, and the final weekend they chose was the weekend of Baltimore Comic Con. And when given a choice between one that's in my backyard and one I'd have to actually pay for, I'm probably going to end up choosing New York Anime Fest, but if I end up in Baltimore on a slim chance, I'll make sure to let you know.
All right, that's cool. Well, me and Jen are planning to go to New York for the podcast next year.
Sweet.
So, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to hang out then.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm certainly up for it. And, you know, if there is a podcast arena next year, I'll definitely be there again. But let's move it over to Brent for the question.
Most love to interview? Well, I got Mark Waid out of the way, so...
We're sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably like to interview him again to say that we're sorry. Did you ever email him the episode link? Or I didn't know how we're going to do that because we didn't get his email at the con.
I'm still actually trying to find his email, but once I do, I'll email it to him.
Have you tried his website?
Not yet.
No? Might want to try that first.
Might want to try that first, yeah. All right, but anyway, anybody else you want to interview other than Mark Waid again?
I could ask Jim Lee why he made my feet hurt that one time, but that wouldn't be very interesting.
Yeah.
What?
Read Comic Timing Blog for more.
Yeah, really. Not going to go into that.
Yeah. I know what he was talking about.
Hey, somebody read it. All right. No, I guess John Rogers on Blue Beetle or something, just to ask him about the creation of that character.
That's cool.
That'd be kind of cool because he's not well known, and I think it'd be really interesting. We should do that.
Yeah, we totally should. We'll get right on that. Actually, no, that I would actually very much enjoy having John Rogers on. So I'll see if I can get in touch with his people or something, if he has people. Jeff, motherfucking Johns. Because he's Jeff Johns.
What more needs to be said?
The man has done everything I've ever enjoyed in DC Comics.
And if you like your characters, you like also, they will never die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Looks like we're going to have a Comic Timing alum on this call. Where is he? He was just calling me. All right, well,
yeah, I heard.
I'm going to try here. Here we go. All right.
So, Brandon, who would you most like to interview?
Are we asking for series now, or just asking because you?
Well, no. So we're not wasting time. We got a shitload.
honestly, I interviewed him in Florida and I interviewed him in Philadelphia before, but Jenny Palmiotti, because he's just actually a great person to talk to. Just sit down and talk to for just a little bit. He's really funny. Plus, his girlfriend's not hot too, so yeah, it's really good. One thing going for him too. Other than that, he's just a fun guy to hang out with.
Plus, right.
Plus, his girlfriend's hot too.
Good. Yeah. Good. All right. If you could own one valuable back issue but never sell it, which comic would you want and why? Chris, let's go with you.
I would have to say, that's a tough one. I would probably have to say Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1, because that's an issue I really enjoyed. You know, the first Spider-Man Annual, you know, the first appearance of the Sinister Six, Ditko art, and Ditko is one of my all-time faves. I have a copy of one of my favorite issues, Amazing Spider-Man Number 6, that I'm lucky to own. And I think that Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1 would be a nice companion to that.
Cool. Yan, over to you.
Yan, he says? Yan? Hey, Toby.
Well, let's see if it actually works this time.
Well, we can actually hear you. How about that?
Wow, whoa. I hear you.
What's going on, man?
Well, it would have helped if I hadn't had my mic on mute.
That's usually the way it goes, man. Lower yourself just a slight bit, all right?
All right, hold on just a second here.
Okay.
How's that?
That's fine. That's perfect. All right, well, for those of you who can't tell, it's Toby Cook. You know him very well from the early days of Comic Time. He was on episode 50 as well. So here he is back for the two-year anniversary episode. Had a couple guys on before, but it has been the usual cast. So, well, first off, thanks for freaking calling in, man.
No problem. Hey, as soon as I signed on to Skype and I saw that you were recording the two-year anniversary show, I couldn't miss that.
Yeah, of course, man, because you were there for the beginning.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember when we first started talking about doing the show and how excited we were, you know, to do something a little bit different. And unfortunately, you know, bailing on after the sixth episode, I got kind of bored.
it's like you learned exactly how much it takes to do a podcast, right?
That is very true. It's a lot of – well, for those who don't know, it is a lot of work. And you handled most of the stuff on the technical end except for, you know, me figuring out that using Skype would be probably the best idea.
Right. Yeah, well, because we tried Gizmo at first, and Gizmo was it was okay, but not nearly as effective as Skype.
Well, you know –
Wait, hold on. What did you just say, Brent? We sort of lost here.
He said he's a furry little animal. Why would you want to use him?
Gizmo. Oh, nice reference.
Can't even feed him after midnight or give him any water, you know? I mean, come on. Duh.
Can I keep outside my also?
He'll turn into Fran Drescher.
Turn into Fran Drescher? What the hell, man?
That was a Family Guy reference.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get that reference. I don't watch a whole lot of the new Family Guy stuff, so.
but yeah. Anyway, going back to that, it was hard actually getting set up for those first couple of episodes, and then once we started doing them, that's when we first really hit the flow, and then it went from there.
I think a lot of it was I was so enamored by the idea of doing a podcast in the first place. And I still, to this day, still have some ideas about, maybe doing another podcast somewhere down the line, especially in the light of, all the cool stuff that's happening with both Marvel and DC right now. I mean, you got Secret Invasion for Marvel. And I guess I should give a bit of a disclaimer here.
Well, I was about to say, you want to announce to the crowd out there what you're doing for Marvel right now.
Yeah, just for anybody who doesn't know, and I haven't really made this public in a lot of places yet, mainly just on my live journal, I started about 3 weeks ago, I started writing freelance for Marvel.com, just writing articles for their website. And who knows? You know, maybe somewhere down the line that'll lead to me actually writing some stuff. But hasn't gotten that far yet. Right now, all I've done is I wrote three pieces on Iron Man eras. I did the 80s, mm-hmm. the 90s, and the present went up today.
Oh, cool.
I did a Q&A on Tuesday with Bob Layton and David Michelini, who were two of the people who were very much involved with Iron Man in the 80s. A lot of it was done to promote Iron Man Legacy of Doom, which first issue came out a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the next one comes out, I think, on May 14th.
Something along those lines, yeah. Well, it's sitting on my stack. It's like one of the 50 comics I got to get to.
If you've read Iron Man 150, which was the first Doom Iron Man crossover, mm-hmm. and Iron Man 250, which featured the Iron Man of 2093, I think it was Arno Stark.
Yeah.
Where it went into the future. Or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Arno Stark was the evil Iron Man, right?
Well, technically he was the second evil Iron Man. Okay. Because the original Arno Stark was hired by Sunset Bane to take out Machine Man. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was necessarily evil, though.
Right, he was just misunderstood.
Right, well, there was the Iron Man 2020 graphic novel that Walt Simonson did. Not long after that, it kind of gave him a little bit more of a heroic spin and him kind of living up to the Iron Man legacy. But what I've got next in the pipeline for Marvel is sometime next week I'm going to have a piece with Matt Fraction about the upcoming issue of Immortal Iron Fist.
Oh, cool.
which will be a Tales of the Iron Fist story.
Ooh.
Featuring art by Kari Evans.
Nice, nice, excellent. Well, I mean, I haven't really read that much of the Iron Fist stuff. I read, maybe the first couple of issues, but I know that it's something that I should be picking up, mostly because I've heard such wonderful praise.
Well, you're in luck because I think they just solicited the second trade, which will collect Seven Capital Cities of Heaven, which just wrapped this week with issue 14. There's a couple of done-in-one stories in between that. That have featured a lot of different artists. Mm-hmm. I think it's either 16 or 17. There's another arc coming up after the one shot that'll be Matt Fraction's last issue on the book.
Cool, cool.
To be replaced by Dwayne Swierczynski.
Yeah, that's the guy who's writing Cable, right?
Yeah, that's the guy who's writing Cable right now, and I don't remember who the artist is right off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I don't think I was happy with the choice of artist.
So it's. Do you think it's going to be like a major departure from what they've been doing on Iron Fist, or are they going to sort of go along the lines of what they've been doing so far?
Well, you know, I've read a couple of interviews. I think CBR had a piece on it, and it looked like he's going to keep going with what Fraction's been doing on the book. I do know that he's got pretty close ties with both Brubaker and Fraction because he's done some of the back matter for Criminal.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, he's a crime writer, and, you know, Criminal being a crime book, he's had a lot of stuff done with that. And I think he's writing Swierczynski's writing one other book, but I don't remember.
Punisher.
Right off the top of my head. I think he's a Skrull, though.
he's writing more journal, right?
No, Punisher Max.
Oh, Punisher Max. Punisher Max. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He's one of the four writers that's it's like three or four writers. They're gonna rotate. They're gonna rotate out after Ennis wraps up his run. I think his run wraps up with 54.
Something like that. Yeah. I've actually only been picking up War Journal, so I wouldn't know exactly what's going on with Max, but.
War Journal's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Another Fraction, another good Fraction book.
Indeedy.
So.
Yeah, and even with the art change, it's been really good.
Well, I don't think Olivetti's off the book permanently.
Oh, okay. So he's coming back.
Well, he's doing art on Cable right now.
Right.
I don't know if the art team change was permanent or not.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything in regards to that.
Gotcha.
I'll have to look at the solicits when we get the new stuff
okay.
in a couple weeks.
That'll work. But anyway, what were we going to say before I cut you off there?
Well, I was asking who else we've got joining us here.
Well, this is Chris Johnson from Amazing Spider-Cast.
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How's it going with you? Well, I guess we already know.
Yeah, it's going pretty good with me. This is my first gig as a freelance writer, so it's actually kind of interesting. It was a nice little tug of war. And I don't know if you guys read Wizard Universe a while back when Ben Morse was writing for them.
I don't think I did, no.
Well, he is actually the guy that I'm kind of working under. Him and Agent M from Twitter.
Right, yeah.
That's Ryan Penagos. He's actually the main editor over there at Marvel.com. So
sweet, excellent. And obviously the rest of the guys on the call are Brandon Christopher, who's been on the show a couple times, Indigo Fire on the forums. So he's a nice old schooler like the rest of us, and you know Brent already, so don't really need to.
I'm old.
Oh, come on, dude. We've been on the CGS forum since like the beginning.
The old forums.
Yes, the one with the rotating covers.
How many redesigns has the CGS forums been through? It's what, 1, 2, 3?
This is like the fourth, I think.
Well, the new design I really like.
Yeah, that's actually really spiffy with the new color, scheme, and the new logo on the top. That's actually pretty nice.
I wish we knew how to do that.
Hey, come on! What? So our new logo isn't enough for you? Is that it?
I like the new logo.
Yes,
I do like the new logo.
And your old logo is still on my business cards.
Cool.
But anyway, I'm going to turn it over to the crowd, actually. If you want to ask Toby any questions about the early days of Comic Timing or anything like that, you can go ahead and do that now.
If you guys just talk about comics, I'm cool with that, too.
Sweet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was Ian as big a dick as he was then as he is now?
I couldn't hear that.
He said, was I as big a dick then as I am now, since, you know, Brandon likes to be a putz.
Ouch.
You know, the thing about Ian is we actually hit it off pretty well. I think we first started talking because of CGS and things like that, and I had started listening to Geek Speak, mm-hmm. which you're still doing the Geek Speak reports, right?
Yeah, Geek Speak report, last one that came out was number 6 about like a week ago.
Cool. I have to. I need to go back, and I'm been going through podcasts like crazy right now because of school and everything.
Yeah.
I guess I should also mention that, you know, I'm balancing a job with also being a full-time college student. So I've been doing a lot of stuff with integrated multimedia and stuff like that.
Cool.
And so one of my projects, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off. I've been trying to arrange to do a webcomics documentary at Emerald City Comic Con, which is next week. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's gonna happen or not. I've been having problems. One of the guys I wanted to do wanted to interview was Bill from Unshelved. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that webcomic at all.
Not really. What type of webcomic is it?
Well, it takes place in a library.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are basically based in a library. It's kind of like almost what PvP would be if it were set in a library. But
you know what? You know, I have seen a few of these actually. Yeah, my girlfriend's actually really big on it.
Yeah, the one guy I really want to interview is the guy who does XKCD, though.
Oh, dude, yeah, no, he's amazing.
That's totally between him and the guy who does Cyanide and Happiness.
Uh-huh.
Have you read that one?
Haven't read that one, no.
That one's a little bit more not work safe.
Okay.
So it's pretty funny though. I mean it's like XKCD, it's really simple sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I will just warn anyone who's listening to this, yes, I do go off on tangents, and I will. This is something that was a problem when we first started Comic Timing, and I still, you know, like to ramble. I like to go off on tangents. I like to have fun.
This entire episode has been nothing but tangents, mostly because we've just been shooting the breeze. I'm like, this episode is going to be barely edited. Like, this is just going to be one I'm just going to put out, like, old school, where, like the way it used to be, where, you know, very little editing, ers and ahs all left in there, and just, you know, let people see what a regular conversation is like versus the more polished version that I like to put out.
Yeah.
Wait, so we're polished usually?
Sometimes.
Oh. Comic Timing Rough Cut Edition.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, actually, people got a view of that with Brent's recent episode 61 that he edited, where most of the ums and uhs were left in.
Hey!
I'm not saying you did a bad job, dude. I think you actually did a really damn good job. I liked your intro also. It was very different.
Speaking of Brent, when are you going to have me on Cryptographic, man?
Cryptographic isn't him, dude.
Oh, that's not him?
That was great. That's lovely.
I'm glad you've been listening.
That's Damian Smith. That's Wobo and Damian Smith, who actually were on episode 61, so you came close. Just bringing things back full circle, that's all.
So, since we're on the subject of comics, I'm going to try and be like Dvorak and keep it on track here.
Yeah, well, once we start talking about Twitter, then it's all doomed.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, well, actually, what I wanted to ask you, since you brought up, the con, who are you looking forward to meeting?
Oh, geez. Mike Choi, who I guess, you know, you guys know from New York City Comic Con that he just signed a Marvel exclusive.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to meeting him. He lives in Portland, so he's only a couple hours away. Looking forward to seeing Brubaker and Rucka again, especially in light of them, getting ready to start on Daredevil here with issue 107.
is that a moan of pleasure or is that a moan of sadness? I can't quite tell, Brennan.
That's a moan of jealousy.
Yeah, it's a moan of jealousy.
But you're going to hate me even more.
Uh-oh.
Not done yet. Also, Mark Waid.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Yeah, after MegaCon, been there, done that.
Yeah, still.
I what's funny is Waid is the first comics professional I ever met.
Wait, you faded out there, Toby.
Okay, what I was saying is Mark Waid was the first comics professional I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
It was, let's see, the first comic show I ever went to was him, Adam Polina, who's getting ready to do the new Angel miniseries for Marvel.
Yeah.
Joe Kubert. There's a legend right there. And was it Steve? I want to say it was Steve Lieber, but I don't think so. I'm trying to remember who else was there. But basically, it was me, Mark, and Adam. Excuse me. Drinking soda. Just talking. I hung out and talked to them for most of the show. I even went to – this was at the Seattle Center. And there's a local burger chain in Seattle called Dick's, which is kind of like almost kind of like White Castle-ish.
Please tell me they actually serve Dick burgers.
Well, they serve actually like fresh cooked burgers.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, that,
so, I serve Dick dogs.
yeah, Dick dogs would be even worse, though. I'm sorry.
Well, they don't sell hot dogs.
Good to hear for their sake.
Yeah. Well, they're probably more along the line of like, I'd say like Hardee's or Crystal's.
Okay.
What, East Coast?
Yeah. I've been to Hardee's, so I can relate it to that.
So is Mark Waid, Adam Polina, I think Polina was still on X-Force. It was either that or he had an Image book that he was doing at the time. Waid was still doing Flash. I think he had just done the Terminal Velocity storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Joe Kubert, who actually was really cool. And they were all going out to dinner that night, and he actually invited me to join them.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, I had to refuse.
Aww.
Because I had to get home because I had to work the following morning. Mm-hmm. But, man, I wish I'd have gone to that dinner because that would have been so awesome.
Well, not that many people get invited to dinner with the bigwigs like that, man, so you got lucky.
Yeah, I would have – I you know, in retrospect, I probably should have gone to dinner because they were going to the old Spaghetti Factory, which is like there's like two of them in the Seattle area, mm-hmm. and just, food is just absolutely fantastic. And it was within walking distance of the Seattle Center, so.
Well, do you guys have any of what the hell is that place that CGS goes to like religiously?
Shitty Maples.
Yeah, baby. But no. The smorgasbord place that they eat at whenever there's one around.
Golden Corral.
Yeah, there we go. You guys have any Golden Corrals out there in Seattle?
We don't have a Golden Corral out here. The closest thing we probably got to that is like Sherry's or something like that.
Okay.
Is it like a buffet type?
Yeah, yes, that sort of thing.
It's fantastic too.
Buffet, all you can eat, and the only thing CGS eats.
Well, the closest thing to that would probably be like Old Country Buffet.
Okay. And Old Country Buffet. We know that very well, don't we, Brennan?
So are you guys coming out this way for San Diego this year?
I might be. That's up in the air right now, mostly because we don't have a hotel yet. But once we I'll definitely be out there.
Well, I'm trying to make arrangements, trying to get funds together to get everything arranged so I can actually go this year. Because if I go, I'm going to be doing stuff for Marbles. So.
Gotcha.
Oh, getting back on track about the whole thing with Emerald City Comic Con. The other person I'm actually looking forward to meeting is Dan DiDio, because he's actually going to be there this year.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
Dan DiDio. Next question.
Okay.
Well, he's doing his Sunday morning conversation here. So. And I heard that last time at New York City Comic Con was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
People sharing stories about their first comic and things like that. So.
Nice.
Interesting, because it looks like Emerald City Comic Con is actually starting to become one of the major cons now. It's the only convention of its kind up here in the Northwest, so. I think this is like the fifth or sixth year, and it literally has jumped in size. If you look at the guest list for last year and then compare it with this year, holy crap, the guest list this year is just absolutely blows me away. We got more people coming. Oh, JMS Szczesinski is
last. You got the whole bunch, really.
We got a pretty good lineup. The one person I really wanted to see is not going to be at Emerald City Comic Con, and that disappoints me.
Oh.
Adam Baldwin.
Ah.
He had to – he has a filming commitment and had to pull out.
Jane.
That's okay. Huh?
Jane.
Yeah. Jane.
Yeah, but he's – but Will Wheaton is going to be there.
Well, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
So you could have him go on about like 20-minute tangents like he always does.
Who, Will?
Yeah, Will. I mean, once you get him started talking, man, he just never stops.
Yeah.
I should just mention G4 and Will Wheaton, and then he'll never shut up, ever.
I actually kind of want to move it back over to the questions, and if you want to stick around for that, just asking a couple more questions that are in the question and answer thread here. So.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool, sweet. All right. Well, we had finished Wood's fourth question, so you know what? Let's go and combine answers 5 and 6 here. Who are your favorite artists and writers? Three favorite artists and three favorite writers in comics. And we'll begin with Brandon here.
All time or current?
All time.
All time?
Yeah.
That's easy. Walt Simonson for writers. Walt Simonson. He qualifies as writer artist for his Thor run. Bob Layton.
Mm-hmm.
And George Perez.
Excellent.
Or Perez, however. Oh, actually.
Well, you know what? You can go with three artists and then three writers if you want.
Okay, I'm going to take Simonson off the artist list because I like his writing better than I love his art, but I love his writing better. And I'm going to put David Aja from Mortal Iron Fist on there. For writers. I'm going to go with Rucka because of Checkmate. Checkmate was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Going to go with Simonson, obviously.
Right.
And Jeff Johns.
Nice meaty list there. All right. Yeah. Well, Brandon.
It's a tough choice because there's so much good stuff out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so tough to actually pick. It's so tough to actually pick, you know, three writers, three artists that you really enjoy.
Right. Well, Brandon, let's go to you here. Best three writers and best three artists.
No particular order, but for writers, Bendis, because I like his dialogue. Mark Waid, because I would follow this man to the end of the earth, because I love him so much.
Move closer to the mic, Brandon.
How's that, guys?
That's awesome.
yeah, so Bendis, Mark Waid, and Jeff Johns, my writers. For artists, Nicole Scott, definitely, because I love her work on Birds of Prey, and I'm drooling, dying in anticipation.
You're cutting out.
You're fading out, dude. Come on. What happened? All episode one, we could hear what you were saying, and now you're going out. Come on, man.
Oh, that's probably why. The cord came unhinged from the microphone, actually.
Well,
yes, Nicole Scott, because I love her artwork, because I'm just drooling in anticipation for her Secret Six ongoing. Bagley, because Bagley just brings back so many good memories. And Joe Madd, because Joe Madd really influenced my decision to follow X-Men for a little bit.
Excellent. And Brent?
I'd say it's not so tough. Writers, Johns, Morrison, and Frank Miller. Artists, Van Sciver, Jim Lee, and fucking A.
Fucking A is not a writer or an artist, so I'm going to have to disqualify that.
Damn it. And then I just stumbled, so I can't say not so tough. Fuck. Van Sciver, Jim Lee. Who else am I really digging? I guess Ed Benn is really liking his stuff, so there.
Okay. Chris doesn't need the answer because I know that all three of his answers are DeFalco. So.
And Bagley. No, and Bagley.
And Bagley and wait. Hold on.
And Romita Jr.
We have Romita Jr. and wait.
You gotta have Romita Jr. on any best artist list.
Of course.
If yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Amazing Spider-Man arc he's doing in August.
Wait.
Plus his work on Gas with Millar.
Yeah.
Wait, though. No. Mummy Aunt May? Seriously?
Mummy Aunt May returns. Yes. But all right, let's get a real list from Chris.
For writers, Stan Lee, Jeff Johns, and I'm also going to double up writer and artist with Eric Powell. Put him in each category because I dig both his writing and I think his art is gorgeous. And then the other two artists, I'm going with Ditko and Bagley.
Wow.
Ooh, I'm
shocked that you didn't manage to get your favorite current artist in there.
Joe Quesada.
yes, exactly. Joe Quesada, of course. No, Mr.
I gotta get my Clayton
Crane love in there. I was about to say, yeah, I thought all three answers were gonna be Clayton Crane.
Maybe Crane Clayton.
We have to thank him for Toxin, man.
Can I say something on the subject of Clayton Crane?
Sure.
I love his art, but I'm gonna preface that with a but. He has come a long way. Since he was working on, what was it, Ghost Rider Trail of Tears?
Mm-hmm.
That he did?
Yeah.
And then the first
Ghost Rider. He did Road of Damnation first.
Yeah, that was, you know, the only problem I had with that was the art in that reminded me of watching the Spawn movie.
I like that movie.
Well, the problem I had with it was too hard to try and figure out what was going on. It looked very over-rendered, but he has really kind of softened up his art, and it doesn't seem like he spent like 300 hours in Illustrator and Photoshop putting it together. It actually looks a lot more natural and a lot better composed. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
As a honorable mention, because this book is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Raphael Albuquerque on Blue Beetle.
Woo, I love that.
Nice. Yeah, Blue Beetle's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, for my top three, I think I'm going to go, for writers, let's see, Mark Miller. It's Miller, like Frank. Gail Simone. And
DeFalco.
Not DeFalco, actually. What a shock. I'm trying to think for my third. Why not Bendis? Why the hell not? But Jeff Johns definitely gets a throw in there also. For three artists, I got...
Bendis?
Yes, for artists, Bendis, right.
Hey, Bendis did draw for some stuff for the Wanted stuff, too.
Yes, he did. But no Bendis. No.
Oh, come on.
No. Let's see. I got to go for artists. Actually, Scott Collins, just for the hell of it, because I've actually... his Flash run is one of the most memorable Flash runs in art that I could ever remember, really. So that sticks out in my head. Bagley, for his Ultimate stuff and for his stuff in the 90s. And Romita Jr. for everything he's ever done except for Faces.
Ooh.
Oh, come on.
I'll agree with you on that. What's interesting is because I did this piece on Iron Man in the 80s, which you can find at Marvel.com. Sorry.
it's good. You're the new Raph, because it's like Raph likes to throw out Midtown Comics, so you're filling in for Raph today. That's fine.
Yeah, but what's interesting is I was looking at I bought the Invincible Iron Man, the $40 DVD that has like every Iron Man issue ever published up through volume 4, number 6, the Extremist storyline. And I was going back and reading some of the old issues where Romita Jr. first started doing art on Iron Man, and I think a lot of it was, you know, his style was a lot tighter, a lot more natural. It had a lot of influences of like Don Heck and Herb Trimp, you know, that sort of just very concentrated musculature. You know, he very much was starting to sort of loosen his pencils up. You know, he wasn't getting into the heavy style that he has now.
But he was getting there.
He was slowly getting there, and his Iron Man work is really where you first see him doing that sort of art, because he left the book, and then he came back when John Byrne was writing the book. An interesting piece about that, Byrne did not actually take primary credit on the book.
Oh.
He specifically asked that when the credits were listed – that Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson get – I think Janson was inking him at the time – get the initial credit on the book.
Wow, that's like one of the few times it's ever happened.
Well, it was interesting because Byrne was actually picking up a lot of plot threads from when Leighton and Michelinie had left the book, because he was – I guess there was an editorial shift or something. And he was the one who picked up a lot of the threads for Armor Wars 2 and all the stuff with the Living Laser and Force and a bunch of the other stuff that had been going on. But getting back on track so we don't derail this too much longer, you really could see when they created the modern classic armor, Romita had a much looser style, and I think it actually suited the book a lot more, because when he was drawing the armor, it had that heavy structure to it.
Yeah.
Really kind of lended a nice weight to the overall appearance of the book.
Cool. So,
I think it was around issue 284 or 280, between 284 and 286 is about when you start seeing that sort of take place.
Cool. And that is John Romita history for you right there, or Junior at least. But
in a nutshell.
Moving on to Daryl, some of his questions we already asked, like what's your favorite episode and, what show was the – actually, that one we really haven't. So I'll ask two of his questions here, or three of them sort of combined, I guess. What do you like best about podcasting, and what show was the hardest to do? And I'm going to go with Brent first, since he's the one who's done the most episodes on this call. So, Brent.
I like best about podcasting. It gives me a chance to talk to people about comics other than the forums. Because the forums, I kind of just read. I don't really post that much because sometimes I can't think of things to post that much. And there are so many guys on the forums that have more intelligent thoughts than I do. So, and just being able to talk to people my own age that are 20-something is just – it's just kind of nice once in a while, because a lot of people around here aren't into comics. And even though my brother reads them, it's kind of hard to talk to him about this stuff rather than as you guys. What show was the hardest to do? I'd have to say the manga episode, the second one I was –
Oh God!
Because I never read manga at all.
I know, that was great. It's like you were sitting there the entire time, and like you asked them. You did ask a couple of questions, but I could tell that like every response was just sort of like, I don't know. What are you asking me for? Yeah, but good times, good times. What do I like best about podcasting? I think it's the. You know what it is? It's the variety of topics that I don't always get a chance to talk about in person that I get to talk about here on the show. That's definitely my best thing about podcasting. That I get to go like a nice wide range, as opposed to just going to the store and being like, oh yes, did you pick up the most recent issue of blank? Yes, that was so blank. I can't believe blank happened. You know, in podcasting, you actually go into general topics and you can talk about things that happened years ago if you want to, or things that are happening currently, but tie them into other things. And that's really fun to do. The hardest episode to do, other than already the one that I mentioned, of course, the the lovely interview where my ass got handed to me. I'm gonna go with for pure research sake, the 52 episodes, because doing all 52 episodes like that in halves like we did. From one to about like 26, and then from there 27 to 52 was really difficult, and we still managed to do it and managed to do good episodes, but that was a pain in the ass to actually plan. But anyway, Brandon, what do you like best about podcasting, and what was the hardest show for you to do? And you could obviously bring in Quarterbin if you want.
What's Quarterbin?
The Quarterbin is a podcast you used to do until you stopped doing it.
Oh, well, yeah. I think it's reckoned out of history. What I like the most about podcasting is the fact, like Brent said, I get to talk to people about comic books.
You're fading again, dude. You're fading again.
I get to talk to people about comic books and nerdery and such. It's amazing. And the hardest show I did was the JSA number 1, 2, and 3 episode. I'm sorry, 1 and 2 episode, because it just took forever to do, and I don't remember what happened. I think I blanked out most of it.
Take 1, take 2, take 3?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we did take us about 3 times to actually manage to do that.
Yeah, we were up 2:00 in the morning. 2:00 in the morning.
Damn Skippy, man, and that's when it all gets fun. Chris, turn it over to you, buddy.
Probably what I like best about podcasting is getting an opportunity to talk to people from all over the country about comics, because there aren't too many fans in my area. So my main source of discussion about comics is through the internet, and it's just really great being able to talk to, like with the amazing Spirecast, being able to talk to Spire fans, everywhere, getting feedback from all around the world, and it's just a really great experience and something I enjoy, always. And probably the horror show I ever did was not one of my shows, but going on CGS was probably the hardest thing I ever did, because I was so nervous about going on there.
Did it feel
like
you were on the weakest link?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Goodbye. Oh, boy. And, Toby, nice question to ask you also. What's the best thing you like about podcasting, and what was the hardest for you to do?
I think I'll kind of agree with what everybody else has said. The one thing I like about podcasting is the conversational aspect, because for me, I'm in sort of the same boat as everybody else, in that I don't have a lot of people that I can talk to about comics and things like that. And it's nice to be able to find, people with common interests that I can just sit there. I tend to listen to a lot more podcasts than I get involved with. But it's really nice to be able to talk to people with a common interest and talk about subjects that I love and be able to geek out, you know, about just the smallest bit of continuity on a particular character, you know. And I'd say probably the hardest podcast I ever had to do was Comic Timing Episode 1.
Welcome to the initial installment of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to what's behind the world of comics for the average comic book fan. Join in as Toby Cook, David Price, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Timing. This week, we touch on some comic book news, go queer eye for the comic book guy, and give you our buy it, trade it, or quarter bin for the week. Here now, the host of our show, Toby Cook.
All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the first episode of Comic Timing. I'm one of your hosts, Toby Cook, and I am joined by my partner in crime, Ian Levinstein, as well as a new addition to our show for the first episode. This man is going to be a regular, the Man of 1,000 podcast, Mr. David Price. How's it going, guys?
How are you?
Doing well.
All right. Because at the time, I knew absolutely next to nothing about doing a podcast.
Right.
But that was kind of the hardest because, you know, I really didn't know how I wanted to start it out and things like that. You know, it was a nice learning experience. I think the first couple of episodes, while they were a little rough, are still some of the best stuff that I've ever done.
Right. Right. And I mean, it was like going on with the training wheels on, and then eventually they ended up off.
Yeah. I think the best episode we ever did was the Raging Bullets crossover episode.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was great. Just talking with Sean and Jim is always so much fun.
Yeah, I haven't talked to those guys in a while. I'll have to remedy that soon.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they're out and about, so you know you could find them around. And actually, the other question that Daryl asked that I want to actually bring up there to people, it's a good one to ask, and well, I think Toby answered his right now to maybe talk to Sean and Jim again. But who do you want on your show that is also a podcaster, other than the ones that are already on this call? That is, but yeah, who do you want on your show that is also a podcaster that either you haven't gotten before that you want back on again? And we'll start with Chris with this one.
I would probably have to say Umar, because I've had I've talked with him on the Pop Cult Online podcast, and I've talked to him on the forum too. And he seems like a really cool guy.
Yeah.
And I think it would just be a blast to have him on the show sometime.
He totally is. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Yeah, he's a sweetheart. And what's great about him too is he actually walks around in a suit almost everywhere he goes.
Awesome.
So it's like you're walking around with Black James Bond.
What am I, top liver?
Oh yeah, because you totally wear a suit wherever you go, Brandon.
Flannel shirt and your comic book shirt underneath doesn't count, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hey. I just got prepped and I'm darn proud of it. Okay.
All right.
For a geek, that's dressy.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway,
sweater vest, baby. Sweater vest.
Mr. Preppy, who do you want on your show that's a podcaster?
Oh, probably Little Witch, Amy, because she's just awesome, number one, man. She's Amy.
Okay. Don't go all dreamy on us now.
You talking about Little Witch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would definitely be one to have back on a show, because I remember when we did the show with her, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, she's great. You know, she's fantastic, and
she's British. She brings class everywhere she goes.
Yes. Even when she says things like "sweaty armpits," you know, it still manages to sound classy because she has the British accent. So everything sounds classy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And Australian accents make Equinox's wife go away.
He's gonna laugh at that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. New. Hey, come on, man. Come on. Rogues Gallery. All right, Equinox, get rid of the wife. It's okay. Come on,
ouch.
Do it. All right,
ouch.
Grant.
We've had Sean Jim on before, so they don't count. All you guys don't count. You guys are fun. I'd like to get Joe and Jimmy from Comic News Insider on.
Ooh, there you go.
Because they are sound like a lot of fun. But the problem with their show is they don't talk about comics like – you know, they talk about one comic for 5 minutes because they have their set schedule and stuff. So I want to get them on just talk about one topic for, you know, 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
I'd also like to get Brian from CGS on the short
– Which one?
Not Pants. The other one. What's his name? Deemer.
Deemer.
Deemer. I'd like to get the Deem on because just listening out to his stories that he was telling us at Fridays when we were at MegaCon, like,
oh God.
You know, you don't even have to talk comics with him. I just want to listen to his life stories of him getting mugged and weird shit that's happening to him.
Can I tell you what his idea was for next year's MegaCon?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
He wants to bring in a stripper pole and just dance. Next year, MegaCon.
If he does that, I am making sure to be at MegaCon.
I'll fly all the way out to MegaCon for that.
Oh, man. Because he was in between the hot artist and the lolly, and the gothic Lolita girls.
But that artist right wasn't in. Hot. You just think she was hot because her tits were popping out the whole time.
Ooh.
Ow.
Oh.
You know she listens to the show, right?
No.
Yeah.
Wait, she does?
You didn't answer my question. What artist was this?
Yeah, what artist was
she, it? It was Christine Bottoms.
Oh, no. Christine Bottoms is awesome. Fuck you, Brent.
Yeah, seriously. What Ian did.
Yeah, Jesus.
I'm not familiar with her art.
Of course she was awesome. You were staring at her boobs the whole time you were talking to her.
What the fuck?
I looked her right in the eyes, thank you very much.
Christine Bottoms is an up-and-coming artist. She hasn't really done that much in the business, but she had a table over at MegaCon, and we talked to her for a while, and might be on Comic Timing at some point, although I don't know if she's ever going to want to come on again after Brent insulted her like that.
Good job, Brent. Her on. She was on the MegaCon episode.
Yes, I said again.
Oh, again.
Yeah.
Well. Yes. Yes.
You gotta be careful who you piss off, Brent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DiDio sucks. All right. Anyway,
actually, you know what's interesting is that's somebody that I'd love that I'm actually looking forward to talking to.
Oh yeah.
He'd make a great guest.
Oh well.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff. I want to talk to him about the new whiteboards.
Toby, man, you would have loved to be at that reboot panel at New York Comic Con, where we saw like an entirely new side to Dan DiDio. He was like cursing up a storm and telling all these stories about how they named characters after strippers in the show, and you know how they wrote the entire fourth season on bar napkins, eating steak and drinking champagne. Oh, it was great.
And for that story, go to 62 Part 2.
Yep,
out now.
Yes, indeedy. All right. Well, who would I like to have on the show? Chris from Collect Comics Library. That's definitely one.
Great. That would be great.
Yeah. I haven't had him on yet. I don't know why I haven't had him on yet, because he's a great guy. And
if you do that show, I wanna be on that episode.
Hell.
I would totally geek out with him on that.
Excellent, excellent. And one other guy that I was just thinking of went out of my head for a minute there. Hopefully get it back. And can't actually remember. But if I do remember, I'll make sure to say. But
is he done?
What podcast was it?
I totally had it in my head. Well, no, Bruce has been on the show before. And I mean, I'd love to have him back on. We just haven't had him on in a while. Actually, you know what? One guy that we're going to be having on the show who is Bruce's podcast partner, John.
John Hook?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Who are we talking about?
John Hook. John Hook, Bruce Campbell, not Bruce Campbell, Bruce Rosenberger's podcast partner on Comics Cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know John Hook on the forums?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been on the forums in a while. I need to get back on there.
Cool.
Especially pimp out my Marvel
John Mayo.
Well, yeah,
John Mayo would be cool.
Yeah, well, John Mayo we've had on 500 times on the show, and every single time it's amazing.
The pundit.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the comic book pundit.
Not anymore, though, actually.
Oh, really? Who's Eclipse him?
I don't know, but he has his own show, though, so he can't be a pundit
that's
anymore.
That's true. Oh, well. Well, we're gonna have to find a new one.
What happened?
Well, no, he's got his own show now, so he can't be a pundit.
Well, he's working with Bob Rital, a JLA fan.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And every comic book page show is lights out. So I'm enjoying those. John Hook, actually, let me go to his questions here. Has podcasting changed the way you think about comics? Changed the way you collect or read comics? Those are the two questions combined into one here. And, yeah, let me ask the panel right off the bat here. Brent, start with you.
I would say it has changed the way I think or read comics, because now I'm paying more attention to the writer and the story and sometimes in the art. Before I didn't really think about an inker. Now sometimes I do. Now I know how a colorist can make or break a book. The last issue of Steve McNiven on Amazing Spider-Man didn't have Maury Hollowell, not as good. And also Ultimates 3, we can point that out there. So I think just talking about a lot of things with Ian and even listening to podcasts has made me a lot more aware of things in comics that, you know, I didn't even know just picking the stuff up in Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and I'll actually say that it has changed the way I read comics as well. I look for details a lot more than I ever did before, mostly because, especially for the 22 pages stuff, reading it three or four times, you'll find things that you didn't find the first time. And before I started podcasting, I never really read it three or four times. I'd read it once and then I put it away. And now I read things multiple times just to try and get the full scope of the comic. And that helps a lot. So I would definitely say it's changed the way I read comics. Has it changed the way I collect? Yes, because if not for comics, I wouldn't be buying comics via online services, and that allows me to buy more comics. So that's definitely changed the way that I collect as well. Let's throw it over to Brandon. Brandon.
Yes. I'm thinking. Jeez.
Okay. Hi. Hi. God, Brandon. Come on. Go faster. Faster. Okay, faster, okay. Brandon. Jeez. Okay, come on. Okay.
What is it, light
hello,
now?
McFly. Hello.
Basically,
well played.
Get out of here. Actually, yes, definitely. As I said before, now I'm reading books for their more intrinsic value. Not only am I looking for just a good read, now I'm looking for a read that will make me want to either laugh or cry. I'm looking now for a specific art style or a specific style for writing like Bendis. I'm looking more for his dialogue now. I'm looking more for how he interplays the characters, and looking at more for like art now. I'm looking at someone like Nicola Scott with almost like her artwork seems to be more painted, almost seems to draw you in now. And I definitely think without podcasting, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, I'm all for you on that, man. Definitely. And Chris.
I definitely say it would change. Let me start over.
Oh, yes, yes. I think that I would change the way that I read comics. In fact, now I'm going to read them upside down.
Well, I do.
Edit that out, of course.
Right to left. Read the ending and then the beginning.
Manga style.
Yeah, manga style does not work on American comics. I'd definitely say it's affected how I read comics because has been said before, I'm paying more attention to the story. So I'll be able to detail exactly, be able to summarize it when I actually record the show, and also pay attention to, what I liked and didn't like about the issue. And also through podcasting, CGS specifically, I've been introduced to, DCBS and drawer boxes and those sorts of things. So that's a way podcast has affected how I buy and store my comics, both.
Sweet. And Toby, has it changed anything for you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's if it wasn't for CGS, I wouldn't have known about in-stock trades, which I just spent another $50 on stuff from them.
Easy,
damn free shipping.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to pass up. I'm kind of holding off till the end of the month now, though, because Starman Omnibus comes out on May 28th, so I'm like, But, I would say definitely, it's nice to see, some of the podcasts that go a little bit more in-depth. Me being the hardcore continue geek that I am, I love hearing, people discuss stuff that I have a intimate familiarity with. On the same page, though, there's stuff like Raging Bullets, which I love because, they'll go through and go through like a couple of issues at a time, and really, you know, kind of give like an old and new feel, you know, because Jim is not really a hardcore – well, he is more now than he was when they first started, but it's nice to see kind of a fresh perspective on the things that, you know, the typical comics fan tends to take for granted.
Right. And also what's good about Raging Bullets is that sometimes if I don't read a comic, I listen to a Raging Bullets episode, and then I basically read the comic because they go so in-depth on some of their stuff that, you know, that's how I read Amazon's Attack. I read Amazon's Attack by reading listening to Raging Bullets, and that was my Amazon's Attack for me.
Yeah. What's nice is they do go pretty in-depth, and you can go back – if you've already read the comic, you can go back and look at it again and see what they were talking about, you know, the little bits of detail. And they have a much different perspective on a lot of books. They tend to like a lot more stuff than I do. I'm really kind of picky about some of the DC books that I read right now. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have people that have a different opinion out there, because it kind of gives you a fresh perspective on, you know, how you look at the comics you read.
Yeah. And to answer John's third question, because the second one we kind of answered already, and I don't know if we really have a most embarrassing episode of Comic Timing. So what time is it? The answer is 11:42 right now, Eastern Standard Time. So, yeah, we've been podcasting for about 3.5 hours now. So we're about at Raging Bullets level right now. Not too bad.
Only 3.5 hours.
26 on the call.
Can we go back to a question, though?
Yeah.
Can we go back to Flashman 13?
Yes, actually.
Did we answer those already, though?
Flashman 13s. Oh, yeah. No, we didn't yet, actually. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go. After 2 years of doing a comic book podcast, has it increased your love for the media? That we kind of answered. So, what is the best sketch you got at a con? That's the best way to answer that, I guess. And what's the best way to get sketches? So those two questions combined into one here. And, I'd say I'm kind of a veteran on getting sketches now at this point, but so is Brandon. So, Brandon.
Erica Hesse for CGS 300, her secret sketch, which was sketched, not only sketched, but painted so beautifully. Yeah. Oh, God, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. And the Genius Bell I got was so amazing.
Yes, that was. And then also Tom Z. Oh, God, Tom Z for an hour? Just knocked out an awesome sketch of Redwood also, so those are possibly my favorite too.
Yeah.
And I guess the best way to get a sketch is actually, first off, if you don't know the artist, go through their, if they have our original artwork, just go through the pages, spot what you like. And even if it's not what you like, always give the artist a compliment. You just find something good inside their artwork. And if you're looking for a sketch, know what you want, know how you want it done, and make sure you have reference material. So I spent half my time looking at MegaCon looking for reference material because no one knew who Young Justice was.
Wait, who's Young Justice?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Who?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I'll definitely say that the best sketch, well, one of the best sketches I ever got, other than the Erica, was definitely my Travis sketch. Because
yes, Travis.
And it proves that, and we'll be having him on next week. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Must bring me on.
Yeah. Both Travis and Sean are going to be on along with John Hook. So there you go. But going back to what I was saying before, one of the best ways is to find unknown artists. You know, by looking at their table, by seeing what they do, you can find artists you never even knew existed that will do better stuff for cheaper than some of the well-known artists. And that's what I found in Travis. I mean, you know, I got a beautiful sketch for $10 that some artists that are already famous would charge $50 for. And that's really all you got to do is just go out there, find artists that, you know, are within the style that you enjoy, and then you'll be able to find really good art for your sketches. And let's go to Chris.
Actually, I have not gotten any. I didn't. My first con was actually Baltimore last year, and I didn't look for any sketches.
Okay.
But this year, when I go to Baltimore, I'm going to bring along a sketchbook. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to be bringing Spectacular Spider-Man number 24 with me because I'm going to have a Hypno Hustler sketchbook, baby.
Yeah.
Hypno Hustler.
So then after that, do you go Judas Traveler?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I mean, who else is there besides the Hypno Hustler? I mean,
Rocket Racer.
Rocket Racer, true, but come on. Judas Traveler, I think, trumps Slinger. Rocket Racer.
Ricochet.
Although, I did... I do have to say that the best sketch I got is a gnome Hypno Hustler that Dave Dwanch did for me.
Nice.
I was going to say you could always go the easy route and go with Stilt Man.
Just a pair of legs.
Legs.
Yeah.
Just a pair of legs.
Or even if you get the spot, because all you really need to do to draw the spot is like do an outline of a character and then just draw some circles.
Yeah. Or Octokid.
Wait, who?
Octokid.
Oh, Octokid, yeah. Or Invisible Woman.
How about the Mandrill?
Oh, Mandrill would be badass, man.
Wait. Black Suit Spidey.
Black Suit Spidey?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, then you're forcing the guy to use all of his markers.
Exactly. Yes.
I'd go with a Scarlet Spider sketchbook.
Sweet. And you just made Jen from Amazing Spider-Cast very happy that you said that.
I'm having a Nashville sketchbook.
Oh, yeah. As I'm concerned, Ben Riley's still alive.
Yes. An Azrael sketchbook, Brent?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or ages would stick
an
together.
An Azrael bat armor.
Shut up.
Wait, Brent, would you sticky pages much, huh?
Oh God.
I was thinking a Fin Fang Foom sketchbook would be pretty funny.
Yes. No, what would be funny is if you have on every page part of Fin Fang Foom until you eventually get to the head.
Well, I'm gonna get a Fin Fang Foom sketch from Eric Powell because I think he's the perfect one to draw that.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
All I have to say is, I work at MGTOWN Comics, and my favorite sketch is Superman punching out Juggernaut.
But, thank you, Raph.
Wait, though. In his defense, though, that was a pretty good sketch.
Yeah, it was. And he even used the Our World's at War Superman. So he had the black circle Superman.
Oh, cool.
But you really couldn't tell, though, unfortunately.
Yeah. But anyway, Brent. What
was the sketch.
Yeah, what was your favorite sketch, Brent?
I've really only gotten, I guess, three. I got my favorite by far, probably the best one, well, because it's the biggest, I guess, is my Ethan Van Sciver Batman sketch I got at a signing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh,
it's good. Totally sweet. And then after that, I'd say Jimmy Palmiotti, because I just talked to him at MegaCon and asked him to sign my Daredevil trade, the Joe Quesada artwork, and he just did like a little Daredevil as who's signing it. And it was like, you know, here you go. Thanks for talking to me for 5 minutes because nobody was talking to him, really.
Aww.
That was pretty awesome. Because
he's a great guy. Huh? It's sad.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, you know what? I really should have just went up to him and asked for my wallet.
You should have. I wanted to be there when you did that.
Yeah.
I told you to do it, but you didn't.
I know. Yeah, well, that's a shame. But, yeah, well, what advice do you give people for sketches?
Go see Ethan Van Sciver with a hardcover of his work because he'll do one for free of anything you want.
That'll do.
Seriously?
Because he's awesome. Really? And I need to go buy a hardcover so I can get a sweet ass Batman as a Green Lantern.
Just buy Sinestro Corps.
I know, but I have all the single issues. That's the problem.
Oh, wait. Yep. The Flash book that he did.
Oh yeah. No, that's really good.
I think there's a hardcover.
Itching to read that. Yeah. I'm itching to read that. It's in a trade now.
Iron Heights. I think it's a hardcover, too.
Yeah, Iron Heights was probably one of the best Flash arcs. Even though it was, you know, a side story, it was one of the best that was done during Geoff Johns' run.
Yeah, I agree. Or you could just buy the Rebirth hardcover.
True.
Yeah, I need to just go out and buy one so that next year at MegaCon I can just give it to him. And
you know, just buy everyone's hardcovers right now.
Yeah.
In stock trades right now. Go.
but anyway, Toby, do you have a favorite sketch and any suggestions on how to get good ones?
Actually, I have two favorite sketches. It's a tough choice, so I'm going to mention them both. Ampersand by Pia Guerrera from Mai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Spider Jerusalem by Derek Robertson.
Oh, nice.
I studied Comic-Con last year. Last year was actually my first year getting sketches, so I didn't really know how to approach him. The thing I did is like with Dave Crossland, who did the art on Puffed, and he did the first Godfather mini for IDW, or not Godfather, Scarface mini, mm-hmm. from IDW. I just walked up to him, and I had you know, been emailing him back and forth anyways, because when he was doing Puffed for Image with John Layman, we kind of talked a little bit, and I just went up, just talked to him, and he asked me if I wanted to, he saw I had a sketchbook in my hand, and he asked me if I wanted a sketch, and man, he did the sketch in pencil, and then he took crayons and was actually coloring it as I was talking to him. So I got this really nice piece. I think I've got it up on my photo bucket. So if anybody wants to see it, I'll find the link and I'll shoot it over to Ian and Skype.
Yeah, definitely.
See it. But it is absolutely one of the coolest pieces. The ampersand was just, you know, nobody – same thing with Pia Guerrera. You know, the thing with any artist as far as when it goes to getting sketches, walk up and talk to them. It's like I don't want to say it was Tim Sale. It was – God, who was it that I got – I need to find that because I scanned all of my all of my sketches that I got last year, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remember. I got a Hulk sketch, and I'm trying to remember who did the. I want to say it was. I got a Tim Sale Hulk, Matt Wagner.
Oh, nice! Wow.
I got a Matt Wagner. I got him to do a head sketch of Hunter Rose. What was cool about that was. I just walked up and started talking to him, and I think at the time he was watching the Superman animated series. So, Ian, I'll shoot you the link. I've got I don't have the ampersand sketch up.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, post it in the thread for this episode when it comes out. I'll let you know when it's out, and you can just post it on the forums.
Yeah, but I'll find the other sketches that I had.
Cool.
I've got the images somewhere. But yeah, Matt Wagner was just really cool. He was talking about the old Fleischer Superman stuff. Mm-hmm. I walked up. I happened to overhear him talking about it and started talking about it, and we started talking about the volcano one, about how bad it was, an episode compared to the other ones, and. He asked me if I – he saw I had a sketchbook, asked me if I wanted a quick head sketch, and he asked me what I wanted. I said I wanted a Hunter Rose Grendel, of course, and I got it. And I talked to him for about another 15 minutes after that. So.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I tend not to want to pay for sketches mm-hmm. just because I don't tend to have a lot of money. Being a college student and everything.
Yeah.
So I'll walk up. I'll look for people that aren't charging for sketches.
The good way to do that is actually if you get there at the right time. A lot of the artists do signings at the DC or Marvel booth, and usually when they do that, they're also sketching for free. So it might not be nearly as detailed as maybe if you pay for one at their booth, but it's still going to be a nice sketch you'll be able to have in your book.
Yeah, but on the same note, I recommend if you see a CBLDF or Hero Initiative booth, go get your sketches from there, because not only are you getting great sketches from great artists, you're also helping a good cause.
Definitely, without a doubt. We're gonna actually end with Matthew, and then we're gonna save the rest of the forum comments. Forum questions. Possibly for episode. I'm thinking maybe either episode 70 or 75. We'll go back and do another question and answer show because we've got a lot of questions and answers here that we could probably hold for next time that aren't that they're not pressing questions like, hey, what do you think about this specific issue that's happening like 5 days from now? So we can probably save them for that. But I want to thank everybody. For doing, sending in your questions, and thank you for being here for 2 years. But anyway, I'll do a formal wrap up once we're done with Matthew here. Just to ask the questions real quickly here from him. What is the best comic annual you have ever read? And I'm going to skip his question 5 because we've already gotten into Brand New Day so much over the past like God knows how long. But anyway, best comic.
I apologize for that.
It's okay. It's fine. Best comic annual you ever read, and what is the best cheap comic bin find that you got from a con? And we will begin with Brent.
Best comic annual I've ever read? Action Comics annual number 11.
I was thinking the same thing, Brent.
I think we're done. Let's call it a night.
Oh God. Do you have a real answer for that, Brent?
I really liked the Batman Annual 25, but Nightwing Annual 2 was kick-ass, so I'll say those two.
In fact, that's actually my answer. That's my answer right there, Batman Nightwing Annual 2, because of the wonderful back and forth between Babs and Dick were just great in that issue. So I'm going to go with that. Best cheap find I found at a con... Actually, I got Joker's Last Laugh for, how much? It was like maybe $2 or something like that. And that was really good at the first New York Comic Con I ever went to. So that's probably the best find I've found. Brandon.
Best annual I've ever read? I don't know. I'm not really one. I've never really read many annuals, I don't think. But I'll guess something else. I'll say it's a quarterly. Justice League Quarterly number, I think, 14 or 15. It was done by all Mark Waid. It had, it was the blue and gold era of Justice League, so it was Booster, Beetle, Guy, Ice, Fire, and that's really about it for the league. But it was just a lot of really funny stories in there. And my favorite story was a little one-shot called When Titans Date, and it's about Ted Kord dating.
Oh, wow.
That's all I need to say.
Enough said, yeah. Well, that's not when he went on a date with Babs, is it? Or was that later on?
No, so he was on a date, and they thought that they were being followed by the tattooed man.
Uh-huh.
And so this guy's walking with tattoos, like, yeah, he's got a tattooed man with a cannon. It pops up, and it freaking shoots you out of a wall. And so Flash tries to stop the tattooed man, but ends up slipping on some snowboarder and right out the door.
Oh, great. Yeah, ouch.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, turn it over to you.
Well, I already said it's the back issue that I would really like to own and not sell, Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 1. And as far as a good 50 Cent bin find at it was actually at Baltimore Comic Con last year, I was able to find the issues that I needed to finish up my run of the Green Goblin 90 series. Mm-hmm. And I also found the missing two issues from the first series and all four issues of the second series of Nathaniel Dusk.
Oh, cool.
From DC.
Nice. Well, actually, you just reminded me. One of the other really good dollar bin finds I found was issues 1 through 20 of Manhunter. Because I didn't actually start picking up Manhunter until about issue 20 or so. One year later happened in Manhunter, that's when I started picking it up. So that's where I started, basically. And from there, I found the rest all in dollar bins. So.
Oh, I forgot the question. But about the, was it the best find?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, if not anything of like a Young Justice for like under a dollar, I'll be happy. But picking up the whole entire, like, 5 year later run of Legion up until issue number 26 for 10 cents each.
Jeez.
What was this?
Yes. I was at a Wizard World Philly and like in my comic book.
Is this Comics by the Pound?
No, it wasn't Comics by the Pound, which is a great idea also. It was at Wizard World Philly and my old store had a booth there. And the first day was books $3-$4. Second day, books $4-$4. Well, Sunday, they're trying to get rid of all the crap. Books 10 cents each. They're giving away whole long boxes for like $30.
You know how jealous I am of you right now?
Yeah, I kind of figured that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I picked up 3 short boxes for $15 each.
You suck.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great. It's fantastic, but you suck.
I know.
Oh boy!
That's how I get my Star Brand number 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Sweet,
lucky you.
Mm-hmm. throw it over to Toby.
I will say the best annual I ever read was Superman Annual number 11, Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons, for The Man Who Has Everything.
Ooh. I'd nice. Almost forgotten about that.
First appearance of the Mongol and the Black Mercy, which is actually playing a pretty heavy role in Green Lantern right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or Green Lantern Corps. But it was also great because it had a had some great John Byrne, Kurt Schaffenberger art in one of the stories. It was. Oh wait, no, that's the wrong annual. But it was Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. I was
okay.
Thinking it's something else.
Gotcha.
And my best cheapest comic book find was I got the first 10 issues of All Star Squadron. For $1?
Whoa.
10 for $10 is nice, isn't it? Global,
oh, I'm not even done with that yet.
Oh.
Which I proceeded to go get signed by Roy Thomas.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that's just a nail right there, man. Nail in the coffin.
That's the nail in the coffin right there. I actually bought the issues, you know, knowing I was looking for the first 10 issues because I needed to complete my run anyways. And then I was like, because I was missing the first 10 issues and a couple other ones, but I couldn't find the other ones I needed. And then I found out that he had just arrived at the show, like about a half hour after I bought the issues. So I went and got them signed.
And that's the way life works right there. Sometimes things just fall into place perfectly.
He's a great guy, by the way.
I'm going to have to check him out, definitely. You know what? I'm going to combine two questions here as well, because one of them is sort of a yes or no. Are you excited about Final Crisis? I assume we all are. And, yes. Who is a better piece of eye candy? Power Girl versus Wonder Woman. And Marvel, for Marvel, Ms. Marvel versus Emma Frost. And that's a nice thing to end this particular episode on. So,
oh, yeah.
We'll begin with Toby here.
I'm going to say Power Girl because...
Well, she's Power Girl.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to go with Ms. Marvel, especially now, you know, because she really has, you know, with Brian Reed writing her, she really has come into her own.
Yeah, well, she's got such a strong personality now.
Oh, yes.
That's yeah, well, you know, she's such a better character than the whole Warbird era and everything else with the alcoholism during Kurt Busiek's Avengers run and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I think that's an easy choice. And with Power Girl, well, you know, the Geoff Johns, Amanda Connor stuff and JSA Classified, that first arc just really cemented her role. You know, we can forget her Justice League Europe days because that was horrible. Yeah. You know, she has really come a long way from the post-crisis stuff, because her origin just got so messed up, you know, with them thinking she was from Atlantis and everything else. And I'm just glad to see that, you know, she's finally back in a strong place in JSA and is getting ready to get her own ongoing series.
And she had some really bad costumes there for a while, Power Girl.
The yellow and white. Yeah.
And then
it was the Diet Soda edition.
At least there wasn't a new Coke Power Girl.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been Oreos.
True. But anyway, Power Girl, I'm going to go with over Wonder Woman because, well, she's just got that missing piece in her costume because she just hasn't found her logo yet. Yeah, right, sure.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And Ms. Marvel versus Emma Frost, I'm also going to go Ms. Marvel because Ms. Marvel is less of a whore than Emma Frost is at times. Emma Frost wears three small pieces of clothing. That's it.
She used to. Not anymore now. Now she wears clothing again.
Yes, barely.
Emma is a Euro trash whore.
Emma wears a costume where if she were to get into a tough fight, it would just fall off. That's it.
It's a distraction, Ian.
Oh, yeah.
It's strategic.
I can give you two words why it won't fall off.
Unstable molecules, yes. She obviously got the costume from Reed Richards, right?
Wait.
It's a mutation.
That's what she said.
As if they act as ballast.
Ballast. And moving on to Chris.
I'm also going to go with Power Girl. Enough said on that one, I guess. And I'm actually going to go with Emma Frost because this is about eye candy, as Matt's question was. So I'm going with Emma Frost.
Okay. Well, if your eyes get an STD, it's not my fault.
That will be my own battle to fight, Ian.
Brent.
I'm going to have to go for DC.
Man, I got a burning sensation in my eyes. Jeez.
Ah, the timing.
On comic timing.
Try to deal.
No, but I'm going to be a suck-up here, and for DC, I'm going to go with my girlfriend in the Wonder Woman costume she was wearing for Halloween.
Ooh.
And for Marvel, I'm going to have to default to my girlfriend in the Wonder Woman costume. There you go.
Asian power!
Yes, Asian power, indeed. Brandon?
I'm going to say Power Girl, as long as she's being on the Adventist, because, my God, that JLA costume was
yes, and somehow she manages to be showing her breasts and her ass at the exact same time when Ed Bettis draws her.
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
She's got childbirthing, as they say.
I think she's better when drawn by Daily Eaglesham or Amanda Conner.
I agree. Yeah.
But Eaglesham really does give her a nice kind of tough stance, and she still looks good.
Yeah. Well, she looks muscular when Eaglesham draws her, like in that last issue of JLA when she's standing in the doorway. I mean, she's got a nice bosom and all that stuff, but like she's jacked, her shoulders and her biceps.
She looks like her name. She looks powerful.
Yeah.
But there's powerful and then there's mannish.
No, I don't think Eaglesham draws her mannish, though.
No, I don't either. He draws her very proportionally. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
And when you draw her proportionately, she's going to have, you know, certain musculature. But when you have a person like Bennis, who's always been about soft curves, especially on women.
And Bennis is about the same proportions for every woman he draws. Why did I list him as my favorite artist? I just couldn't think of another one. Because I don't know why I said that. Because
you could have picked anybody else, and that would have worked just fine for us.
You could have picked Adam Kubert on Action Comics Annual number 11.
At least he's got Michael Turner with the ribs sticking out everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Just change your favorite artist to Bill Willingham instead.
Ooh.
Because Bill Willingham is an actual good artist versus Ed Bennis, who just draws TNA a lot of times.
John Romita Jr. for Ed Bennis, because I couldn't think of him at the time.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, go back and edit that in,
Oh yes, I totally will.
No, me. I'm not.
Yes. And as for Ms. Marvel versus Emma Frost, gotta say Ms. Marvel. I'm not feeling the whole itchy brain sensation in my eyes.
Side effects may include anal leakage.
Yeah, what's it called? Like Olestra. Yeah, that's what she's like.
Olestra?
Olestra for the
Wait, I got a question for Brandon.
Uh-oh.
Vixen or Storm?
Ooh, ouch. Depends on who's drawing her. Wait, can I go for personality or do I have to go for eye candy?
Either way, really. Okay. You could go for artists who accidentally draw Storm White or artists that accidentally draw Vixen White.
I was waiting for that.
Nicely played, Ian. Nicely played.
Thank
Very
you.
Nice. Wait, or artists who draw Empress White. Yeah, that was good also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Who are we talking about here?
Like, no, there have been a bunch of artists over the years, colorists that have forgotten to draw Storm fully black. They've either made her tattoos.
Somebody did it to Vixen recently.
Yeah. And Vixen, it's been happening in JLA all over the place.
Yeah.
JLA 11 is a good example.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
If you look at that scene where her and Roy, I'm not calling him Red Arrow, that's stupid.
What does that mean?
Don't.
I'm Red Arrow.
There is Arsenal. It just seems to make more sense. Hell, I'd go with Speedy in a pinch, but
Yeah, but speedy doesn't work when you're coming over a drug habit.
No, just the Red Arrow thing was especially lame because Hal Jordan was a Red Arrow. Retard dog.
Why did you turn Hal Jordan into a stutterer?
Because that's what he did in those like first six issues.
I'm Green Arrow.
Stupid. Have him pick his own fucking name. Jesus.
And, you know, okay, wrath phrase number 7. And on that note, I'd like to thank you all for being on this very, very, very long episode, which will not be broken up into two parts of Comic Timing.
Nice.
I didn't answer the question, though.
Yeah.
You're going to kill people's RSS feeds.
Oh, of course I am. Of course I am. This baby's going to be about 100 megabytes, and I'm going to love it.
Eat that, Raging Bullets.
You're only 3 hours away from beating episode 100 of Earth2.net, the show.
Yeah. Wasn't that like 7 hours?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it was.
And it was awesome. All seven
I was like,
hours
that's
were
insane.
Awesome.
We started recording at 8:30. It is now 12:13 a.m.
No, it's not.
And I haven't tested.
Oh, not in your neck of the woods, Mr. West Coast.
It's only 12 hours. Don't exaggerate.
Yeah. All right, people. Well, first off, thanks to Toby for joining us in the middle of the episode here. It's fun having you back on, buddy. Always is.
Yeah. Hey, anytime, man.
Definitely. We'll let you know if we ever have Chris on.
Hey, yeah, I'm cool.
Sweet. And thanks to, speaking of the other Chris, thanks to Chris Johnson of Amazing Spider-Cast for being on.
Oh, it's always a good time talking with people. We'll see you on another Brand New Day episode.
Yes,
down the line.
Probably not the next one because, well, quite frankly, I got to cover that on this show, but maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or something like that. But
yeah, we'll get you on for the junior. We'll get you on for the junior
yes,
issues.
That's more like it. Yeah, one that we could all fully appreciate. Anyway, you want to plug any upcoming episodes of your show or ones that just came out or something?
We just put out episode 69, which was...
Woo!
I was waiting for that. I knew that was coming. Where we discussed the latest 3 episodes of the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, me and Crazy Chris, and we pretty much determined that on that cartoon, Doc Ock is a furry. So
what the hell?
Yeah, he really is.
I see somebody agrees with us.
You know, he's voiced by Peter McNichol, right?
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that makes all sense then.
Oh, boy. Let's remind everybody out there in podcasting land that might not know who Peter McNichol is, who he is, please.
He was on Ally McBeal. He was also trying to remember what else he was in.
He's in Numbers.
He's in Numbers.
And he's also,
I don't watch Numbers, so I didn't know that.
And he's also Janos from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yeah.
that's where most of the geeks will know him from.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool.
I am Janos. I am from the other side.
All right, and obviously that's all at AmazingSpiderCast.com, right?
Libsyn.com is where you can download from.
Okay, but you have it listed on the AmazingSpiderCast.com site, don't you?
Well, I think Jen's a little backlog on posting the episodes on there, so.
Gotcha.
I gotta go, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Later.
Bye.
Take it easy.
See ya.
And, before we end it up, obviously, Brett, you got any BK's Bullets coming up or anything?
Actually, I just might. On Squadron Supreme, the new reboot JMS, the Hyperion Nighthawk series, and the Ultimate Power. So I might have that coming up.
Ooh.
Supreme Power in there as well, all that stuff. So
spiffy. Any for DC?
No. I don't. I mean,
I love how smugly he says it too. It's like
Action Comics Annual number 11.
Yes.
they haven't had me on for Blue Beetle yet, so no.
No. I thought of something the other day that I could do with that, but it just escaped my mind, and I really, frankly, haven't thought about it in a long time, but. I'm sure I'll think of something. You'll have a couple over the summer. I promise you that.
Excellent. And RagingBullets.com for the old ones. Comic Timing ones are on SpeakGeeksBeat.com/comic timing. haven't quite bought that Comic Timing URL yet, but I very well might sometime in the near future. And one other thing that I was going to mention, obviously, if you want to check out Toby's web articles, just head on over to Marvel.com and search for the Iron Man stuff that he put up, and you'll be able to find them. And
speaking of Iron Man.
Yes, speaking of Iron Man.
Ages.
Indeed.
Invincible Iron Man number 1 by Matt Fraction and Salvador La Roca.
Yes, indeed.
Coming out in May, right?
Yeah, we're going to try and get on some decent people for that episode who you know, are into Iron Man and are into Marvel Comics. And,
wait, in May? What comes out in May regarding Iron Man? I don't know.
The movie. That's
Tomorrow.
And the box set for the animated series from the 90s. No.
Oh,
really?
Oh, wow.
No,
that's,
no,
that's,
I wish there was. I really wish
too.
There was.
You must go back to the first season of Iron Man when he had the mesh suit that he used to wear.
You know what? I'd rather not.
Yeah.
I'd rather visit the mullet.
Yes.
The mullet.
You must obey the mullet.
And Force works. Oh, God.
Fantastic Four.
Can fade from sight.
From sight.
Johnny the torch.
The angel just loves the fight.
This call the four.
No need, no more.
Now that is a 2-year anniversary right there, man.
All right, and with 4 hours and 2 minutes,
It's all complete. Brandon, where can they find your old shit?
Oh, my old stuff can be found... The time being at thequarterbin.listen.com. Looking for my new show post Wizard World Philly, which will probably be middle of June.
And are we ever going to get that episode that you recorded on TalkShoe?
Yes, probably.
TalkShoe, recorded live.
And I may start, hopefully, if you guys will let me start doing some corresponding for you guys while I'm out and about, you know.
If you're going to do it, then obviously we will air it. So if you want to do some roaming reporting of Philly or so on and so forth, Do it. Like Nike says. And hell, if you want to put out, you know, episodes on the Comic Timing feed, we're sort of creating a mini Comic Timing network anyway with all the damn shows we put out these days.
Mini, world domination at last, finally.
Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
But Brain,
I don't know, Brain. How do you wear pants and cheese at the same time?
Yeah, I think so, Brain, but striped pants make me look chubby.
I think so, Brain, but you don't think we take down there.
But if Jimmy Crack called and no one cared, why did he keep on doing it? And the email address for Comic Timing, you know what, fuck it, Brent, you do it.
The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. you can check out all of our old episodes over at www.geekspeak.com/comictiming. be sure to check out the Rogues Gallery and the Geek Speak Report, currently holding the first and only reality show in podcasting, searching for the new co-host. 3 episodes out, 2 to go. Who will it be? Be sure to vote for us on iTunes, Dig.com, any place else you can vote for shit. We're not on Facebook, but you can buy...
We're on Facebook. What are you talking about? Comic Timing, yeah. The Comic Timing group on Facebook.
Fucking forgot that.
I'm a proud member of that.
Yes, and we're also proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com.
Comics Podcast Network, comicspodcast.com.
We get comic book podcasts over comicbookboys.com/week. And, all the rest and all that crap. So, as always...
There's always...
For comics.
Yep.
Excellent. Brandon, you alive? Your new mic is getting set up right now? Okay. But, alright, cool. So, you know what? I'm going to intro the show, and then we're going to have Heath ask us a question, and then Heath can go on his business, but he's going to play up the creepiness, because that seems to be his running character on Comic Timing. So we'll do that, and then all will be well, all right?
Just not Comic Timing, that's just me, baby.
We can't hear you, Brandon. No, we can't. might be a good idea for us to be able to
talk
to Brandon. Oh, yeah, great. Thanks, Brandon. Alright, so let's just count it down.
Your words or his?
Yeah, my words, his words, everybody's words.
Fuck up.
I have the power!
To end this call. Holy shit, dude.
Dear Lord.
4 hours! And we
hostile takeover.
And we only answered like 10 questions.
My parents are dead.
Bullshit! Our mom just got off the freaking phone. How does it?
The response to "my parents are dead" should have been, "They better be, because I'm gonna kill you!"